Hey Rod, are you ready to go balls deep in sports?
Konnichiwa, and welcome to another episode of Balls Deep Sports, the premium sports podcast of the Blackout Who Tips Premium Network. That's right, double premium, motherfucker. Shout out to all the people in the chat room that came to watch the show live. But this is a sports show for people that just like to have some fun, that might be knowledgeable about sports. Maybe you don't know shit about sports, but this is a good way to get involved. Of course, I never do this show alone. I do have my mellow, my man, 50 Grand, in the house with me. What up, J Trio?
What's going on, Sababa, my brother?
Mm-hmm. Ski Wee and all that. How you been, man? It's been about a week since you've been on the show and since I seen you.
Yeah, I've been doing good. I keep the things I keep saying every week is I've been taking Hebrew.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. So that's what those mean. What does Sababa mean then?
Sababa actually means I'm doing good. What's up?
Oh, okay. All right. Real nigga, what's up?
But the other one, Taniki, that's up top.
Okay. Okay. Did not know the Jews had a word for that. That's cool.
Yep.
We also have, a first time guest on the show, man. But somebody that when I came up with this idea of a show, it was one of the people on my short list of, people I have an excuse to have on the show now. It's my man, Mike Felder, aka In the Bleachers on Twitter. What's going on, Mike?
Not a thing, Rod and Justin, man. Good to be on the show. Talk a little sports, get a break on my day off to just hang out, man.
No doubt, man. Everybody, you know, like, I remember when I first asked Felder to be on the show, he was like, man, you know, I'm not an expert on all kinds of sports. I just kind of keep up with, you know, stuff that I like in my job. And I was like, then that makes you perfect for this show. We do not know what the fuck we're talking about. This is awesome.
I'm glad he said that because I was like, fuck, I'm going to actually have to watch some sports this week.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to actually sound knowledgeable.
Yeah. It's kind of the worst when we have good guests. It's kind of bad because then they make me feel stupid because they're like, well, you know, Eli Manning was averaging 285 yards per game last year. Now he's down to 273, and that's a significant drop because quarterback. And I'm just like, yeah, man, I don't know. He just looked bad this year.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I'm terrified of numbers, so there will be no stats.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. My type's a man. That's what I'm talking about. Mike, can you tell them where they can go to find all your In the Bleachers information and, you know, a little bit about yourself, man.
Yeah. For those that don't know, I am the lead national college football writer for BleacherReport.com. I actually run the BleacherReport.com/YourBest11 blog, college football blog. I do video analysis. I do scouting reports. I do game film breakdown. College football is my wheelhouse. That's where I kind of live in. Played college football at UNC. I practiced a lot of college football at UNC. It's probably more accurate. And I mean, that's me. I live in Charlotte and I don't leave my house very often except to go to the grocery store. And Rod, I have been going to Earth Fair. Mm. Good. Yo, I picked up some ribeyes from Earth Fair. I thought they were fillets at first because they look so good.
Writing that down right now. That's a good clip. That's a little hint. That's the double dildo lock of the week right there, dog. go to Earth Fair and pick up these steaks. That's gonna happen. Trust that.
But how are you cooking them though, sir? That's
oh, you gotta cook medium rare. I'm a medium rare steak guy. Grill, or I started cooking them in the grill pan. I'm all over it. I can do it. What do you want? Oven, go on the grill. I'm versatile.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't challenging it. Because I don't cook
at all.
I don't cook at all in my house. That's why I wanted to clarify. I don't cook at all in my house. I was asking so I can pass these tips along.
Well, you know we can't start the show without playing the theme song. So we might as well go ahead and get on that right away. Wait, why is my sound set up to go through my speakers? That is new. Give me 1 second. Windows decided to change my shit. Let's see these, okay. It is not even going through the mixer right now, but it is recording through the mixer. This is a new problem. Give me 1 second, guys.
Yeah, but Mike, I don't cook in my house. McDonald's is my friend.
What? Man, I'm telling you, that's my work is stressful. The best thing I can do is get in the kitchen, man. I made a couple weeks ago, I baked red velvet cupcakes. from scratch with the cream cheese icing. I made about a gallon. I made almost 2 gallons of pasta sauce this past Sunday. Like, that's it. Like, if I need a break, I go in the kitchen and just cook it up.
So you almost qualify for a house husband.
I'm not married, but I do all the other stuff.
Right. That's like, that's the only thing you missing.
Somebody got to put a ring on this finger.
Yeah, he almost could be a house husband. He's almost there. He just needs a little more advice, you know, to be able to get himself like us. Yep. Let me see if I fix this shit. Please work. All right, here we go.
How, Dave?
You know how when I go in the ball pit of Cheesy Charlie's and I sink all the way down to the bottom and you can't find me?
That, Dave?
That's right, Dave. I'm talking about
balls deep.
I'm talking about
balls deep.
I'm talking about
balls deep in love.
I'm talking about
balls deep.
I'm talking dry hump her positive traits.
Give a pound into her feelings. Make her south mouth salivate.
Hey, Tyra, are you listening?
We're not talking just the tipping. Thank you, Scottie Pippen.
No problem. Just here dropping off an application. Players in my day didn't make as much as they do today.
Huh. Sorry to hear that. Where was I?
You're talking about balls deep.
We're talking about balls deep
in love.
I'm talking about
balls deep.
My boy's talking about balls deep. We're talking about
balls deep in love. That's correct. So yeah, let's get balls deep into this shit right away. First thing first, man, we've never done this type of segment on the show, but I might as well ask since we got an expert on the show, man. What's up with college football? Am I right?
Man, it's ridiculous, honestly. Like, there's the Jadeveon Clowney situation where there's grown-ass men calling a kid a liar, and there's so much mess. The guy that everyone lifted up in terms of Clowney is now all of a sudden, hey, he's a liar. They're not calling him a liar. They're using real fancy code words like he's just protecting himself from the draft, and he's selfish. But they're calling this kid a liar, and I honestly don't think any of them would say it to his face.
Now, you know the old ball coach, his coach. I feel like he started it even before Clowney actually got hurt. Was during, like, right before the game one, and he was like, you know, if are they hurt or are they not gonna, you know, if they're just semi hurt, then I think they should play. It was some comment he made like that towards the beginning of the season.
Yeah, in fall camp, Clowney sat out. He's got a bone spur in his foot, which I don't think enough people know. But he sat out some practices, and they were like, listen, if he can go, he'd go. You know, if he's hurt, he's hurt. He won't play. But Spurrier started, but then he's backed off his comments in terms of, like, he came out. They played a tight game with Kentucky, and that's not something you're supposed to do. And so he was upset, and he said some stuff he shouldn't have said, and he's since backtracked on all those things. But everybody keeps running with the original quote of, he can play with us whenever he wants and whenever he feels like it. So...
And it's weird. It's really weird to me too, because it's kind of out of character for Spurrier as far as calling the guy out like that, because he's such a player advocate, man. Like, he's actually been one of those guys who's been like, we should find a way to pay these dudes. I don't know how, but yeah, something. This is a little bit crazy. And that's kind of major for a coach of, you know, of that echelon to even address something like that. Pretty much every other coach is like, yeah, don't ask me that shit again, you're fired, you know.
Yeah.
Not that he can't be a tyrant, you know, he's had dudes kicked out of the press conference you know, circle. He's had guys basically lose their jobs for asking the wrong questions and shit, but it was just really weird to see him go in on a player like that.
He's a dick to adults usually. Yeah. Not to kids. And I think he realized, like you said, this is the guy that offered to pay money from his salary so that they could pay the players. And he realized, he's like, man, this isn't what I do. I usually am protecting these guys, and I screwed up. He's backed off of it. The only thing he hasn't done publicly is say, I'm sorry for what I did. But he's done everything else in terms of, I handled the situation wrong. I shouldn't have said that. But nobody wants to hear it, because why would you want to hear that when you get an opportunity to rip down a 20-year-old kid that you spent all offseason building up? You get a chance to call a guy a liar, say he's sorry, talk about how terrible he is. That's the story that people want to write.
Yeah. Yeah. That, like, that's the thing too, is like, when he said it, I thought that's stupid. You know what I mean? And then when he apologized, I was like, even if he wasn't being sincere, he has to apologize, in my opinion, because you're still trying to recruit these once-in-a-lifetime athletes like Jadeveon Clowney.
Yep.
And the next dude is probably paying attention to this shit. Like, so if I get hurt and I can't play, you're going to be on TV basically calling me a little bitch, because that's not good. And people were actually saying shit like it's dropping his draft stock, which is crazy because I check the calendar and still October. So
people don't understand how the NFL works in general. Like, this is, I do the NFL draft show in April, and the thing that people fail to realize continuously is this idea of draft stock being a thing. It's not that. There's 32 different teams with 32 different general managers. There's no such thing as draft stock. Teams like you or they don't like you. And if a team doesn't like you, that doesn't mean your stock low. It means that team doesn't like you. And there are more teams that if they had the number one pick, they would take Clowney than would not take him.
Right. Yeah. And I knew it was going to be a weird season for that dude too, because, you know, he's a defensive player. He doesn't play any offensive snaps. So when people were like, should he win the Heisman before they even started the season? And then they would just show the one time that he hit that dude and almost killed him. It's like they kept showing it on repeat, and it'd be like they tried to make it seem like every play of every game was him doing that to a dude.
Yeah.
And then when he just had regular good games, they would be like, yeah, he just only had a regular good game, guys. He didn't kill anyone tonight. He didn't have 17 sacks. He's, you know, does he even care anymore? Is he just ready to go to the pros? He's big time now. It's like they set this guy up for the fall from jump. Yep.
I think they, that's too.
Go ahead, Justin.
Because they never comment on how they actually run the ball away from his side. They never comment on how the quarterback passes most of the game away from his side when he's in the game.
Yeah.
Like that's his impact.
It's the Julius Peppers syndrome, man, when he was, and this is an NFL comparison, but when Julius Peppers was in the Carolina, dude, I never heard so, Julius Peppers is why I lost respect for Carolina Panthers fans. It's because I never heard so many people just lose their fucking shit about and become incapable of analyzing a football game. It was like, you know, he didn't get any sacks. I'm like, yeah, they also were taking three-step drops and throwing screen passes all fucking day because they were like, don't want it with that dude. Like, you know, just it's like, how many times do I need to watch a quarterback roll the other way across the field and then throw a check down because he still didn't feel comfortable going down the field because he's like, where the fuck is this big ass dude? And people would be like, yeah, he's just lazy, dude. And I'm like, I can't talk to you anymore. So
yeah,
it feels like that's what's going on with Jadeveon.
Yep, you guys are smarter than so many people that I deal with on an every single day basis, because every one of them is like, well, he don't got no sacks. He don't got no sacks. He don't got no sacks. And so it's, you know what it reminds me of? And I just came up with this, I think, was it Wednesday I wrote this article. It's like a cornerback where you don't hear, remember no one had ever heard of Nnamdi Asamoah.
Mm-hmm.
Because they weren't throwing the ball to his side. It's the same thing with Clowney. He's having an impact on the game. They're going away from him and going away from him, three-step drop and going away from him. That's his impact on the game. His teammates have to do something, or his coaches are going to have to move him around in the different places to get some production out of him. But yeah, it's people don't understand football. Like, they don't get the impact in terms of, and honestly, I would love to just see some of the people that tweet me on a daily basis, see them sit down and chart out like a football game and understand that what goes on in it. I'd like to just see what their original chart would look like. Like, by themselves with no help. I'd like to see what that looked like.
Yeah, so much of football analysis from Joe Schmo people is just try hard. Like, they really feel like it's just a big ass movie and like Rudy is the star. And all these other big ass athlete dudes apparently don't care at all because they don't have the stats to back it up every game. It's like, well, if he had four sacks in a game, he cared that game. But the next game, when he didn't have any sacks, he was just bullshitting, man.
Yep. They don't even look at how many downs he was actually in the game or anything like that.
Oh, the worst is the down counting people, by the way. Those are my least favorite people.
He wasn't in the games. He missed all these. He's a defensive lineman. They rotated. They've been rotating defensive linemen for years. He rotates in the game. That's right. A set rotation that his coaches have. They set that up before. Hey man, you're gonna give me six, then you're coming out, then he's gonna give me six, then he's coming out, he's gonna give me four, then you're going back in. Like they do that before the game, and the only time they deviate from that is when they go to special packages or if they can't get the player because the tempo.
Yep. Right.
And then sometimes they just have a back that comes in or a lineman that comes in just for third downs.
Yeah.
Only want you in for third downs.
Right. People don't give a fuck, dog. They saw that dude hit somebody and knock their helmet off, and they want to see that shit every fucking play, man. It's irrational, man. I can't, like I said, I can't talk to people about this, man. It drives me too crazy. I will yell at someone.
Takes right back to Julius Peppers.
Yeah, Julius Peppers. The new dude I can't talk about in public anymore is Cam Newton. Last time I had a conversation about him, I ended it by yelling at two white dudes, y'all are racist. And that's, you can't say that in front of 60 people at the YMCA without people looking at you funny.
Man, the thing I'm waiting on is for Clowney's scandal.
Oh, like, man.
Like,
yeah.
That's the next step. I'm waiting on, like, okay, first they trying to tear down his football. Now it's like, oh, where's it on? Then they try to tear down his character.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's a quitter. He doesn't really care about football. Then all of a sudden,
he gets paid for selling a jersey or some shit.
Yeah, like,
oh, well, they glossed over him because they were so busy trying to get Manziel this summer.
Because
Clowney and Teddy Bridgewater had autographs from the same guy that Manziel did.
Oh.
But they're like, nah, the case here is Manziel. We're going to get this boy.
Balls deep, folks.
Yep. Balls, is that inside information, man? Nobody else talking about. You know, the other thing with Manziel, though, is.
I love him.
Two things. Swag. love his swag. He reminds me of, what's the white dude that played college basketball for, like, Michigan or whatever, the dude that was middle finger everybody at the wins. That dude.
Yeah.
He reminds me of that dude a little bit, except he's way better at sports.
Yes.
But,
he's
like,
so good.
Yeah, but he's so out of control in a good way where he's like, actually, you motherfuckers can't affect me. I'm going to the NFL next year and no one can stop me. And until then, we're going to be doing the money dance and we're going to be doing middle fingers. And I like that. I like that about him. I also like to compare him to Charlie Ward, even though I don't know shit about Charlie Ward's stats compared to Johnny Manziel. I just like comparing a white dude to a black dude because nobody ever does it. They always compare white dudes to other white dudes, man.
Oh, that's been my thing when I do this draft. When I do draft stuff, I try to go really hard to find cross racial comparisons. I try to find him. I'm like, oh, you know what? This black, he reminds me of Toby Gerhart.
Yeah.
For sure. Reminds me of Toby Gerhart. They're like, you wouldn't say Jerome Bettis or Fonte? Nope. Toby Gerhart.
Nope.
That's what I see. You know? That quarterback, black, remind me of Jeff Garcia.
Dude,
you say Cam Newton? No, Jeff Garcia.
I can't wait to see the end of the year if his stats are anywhere close to Charlie Ward.
I can tell you right now.
Not even going to be close? Man. Cause I was
Charlie Ward.
I would run with that shit so hard, dude. You don't understand the amount of, cause the best part about making a racial comparison like that is that people immediately come up with a same race comparison to, like, yeah. You're like, yeah, you know what? He reminds me a lot of Vince Young when he was at Texas. Yeah, you kind of reminds me of Peyton Manning. No, Vince Young. I'm sure Vince Young, exactly Vince Young. So I'm going to start looking for black people's stats to compare to him already.
I'll tell you right now, if you don't use stats, if you just talk about a dynamic playmaker, Charlie Ward can work.
Okay, all right.
Yep. Charlie Ward can work. Just go on YouTube, just search Charlie Ward, Florida State. You'll see some highlights. They'll be in that old ABC football bad. It's going to look terrible. Mm-hmm. Just watch two of them and be like, remember that play he had against North Carolina, though? That's what Johnny Manziel remind me of. Yeah. Man, I tell you.
Like, he didn't even play pro football.
Yeah. Then I get to do that. So that's the other thing, is I get to do that thing where I get the wax on how great Charlie Ward is and how underrated he is. And people get to have that discussion instead of the Manziel. I get them all the way off of the Manziel thing, man. But I like that dude, man. I just like that he make people mad, man. And that's probably my one weakness, is that, you know, I'm a fan of athletes that make people mad. I don't know what to tell y'all.
I'm right there with you, man. I've been a fan. Look, I'm sorry, but maybe it's because to me, I could see him be my teammate, and me and him would be like this. We'll be boys, just like Steven Garcia at South Carolina. We would hang out. We go out and get drunk. We have some fun. We break some stuff.
Yeah. What's the difference? Soon as that dude missed that Peyton Manning camp with a hangover, I said, this dude is a beast. Like,
yeah. That shit remind me of when I had an internship when I was in college. I missed the shit out of it a couple of days because I was too drunk.
Right. Everybody has done it.
Who hasn't been there?
Right. Everybody's done it, but this dude does it, and all of a sudden it's the worst thing in the world. And I'm still convinced, conspiracy theory, that this is all trying to take down his brother, his coach, who's a black man. and at some point they're going to start trotting out the Kevin
Sumlin. Yeah,
can't control a team. Kevin Sumlin doesn't know how to get his players under control. And I saw him start running with that, but Johnny was out there getting them W's.
Yeah, they started that first game. He got that flag for.
Yep.
Yeah. And he, in that situation, he did what you have to do. He came to him, talked to him, and he sat his ass down. And people were still like, is he out of control? It's like, but that's what a coach would do. If he was out there, if he was out there letting them play and high-fiving them and shit, then, okay, I got y'all. He didn't do what a coach supposed to do. But he was like, man, sit your ass down. What the fuck are you doing? I let you in for a half, and you already doing this shit?
The best part was he did it, and he walked to Selma, and Selma just said one thing to him, and Johnny took it straight to the bench. And people were like, he didn't even acknowledge his coach was talking to him. He's out of control. And I was like, whoa, buddy.
Yeah.
You obviously have never been yelled at by your dad or a coach or so. There's sometimes when they just say something quick, the best thing that you could do is get out of their way,
walk away,
and go sit down, because they're going to knock you out. If you say, I got you, you're going to get hit.
That's
if you
the
say, no problem. You're going to get hit. Yep. Just go away.
He could have said, get the fuck out my face.
That is, that is the most control. Because I guarantee you what he said was probably like, hey, sit your ass down. And that was it. I'm like, did he tell you that? Did he bench you? Hey, look, man, I'm not getting up. So if he come get me, then I'll go out there on the next series. But it didn't sound like one of them type of discussions, man.
No, it wasn't a discussion. There was no discussion.
There wasn't nothing for Manziel to say.
This wasn't for talking. This was for sitting down. See, you sit down.
Yeah. Now, we didn't cover this on the show when it happened. But I thought it was extremely funny, man. Lane Kiffin got fired at the damn airport, man. What happened with this shit?
That's my boy, man.
Yeah, that, like, I know that people don't like Lane Kiffin, man, but they mostly don't like him because they take sports too seriously. I don't have a problem with this dude, because he did two things I like. He quit a job, by just leaving town, like, fuck y'all. And I'm always here for that. And he got a pretty wife. I don't know why people hate this dude so much.
You're also missing when he quit the job by leaving town. He called all the players that he just got there and was like, hey, don't go to class the next day. Maybe you could come with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, I get his hustle.
How cool is that? He even gave you warning.
He's like, hey, I'm out.
Dude.
Y'all ain't go see me, but you come with me. They, I can put you on out here.
They still don't fuck with him in Tennessee, dog.
They hate him so much. Like, they were cheering. I look at that, man. If I'm an agent of a coach, I'm like, man, they did. I know they don't like old Lane, but what's to stop them from doing my boy dirty if he gets that job?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I forgot about this. And he fired his daddy, which is another... You know, another dream that a lot of men have. Man, I got a cool dad, so I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah,
but
I don't either. You know, I'm with you.
But if I had a coach dads are notoriously not cool, man.
Well, to be fair, though, his coach dad was they scored 51 points and lost the game because they gave up like 67.
Yeah, he had to go.
Dad, you got to go. Man, you're killing me. Right. Your office is good.
I guarantee you he hires him at his next job, though.
Well, his dad got a new job and shit.
He's that
like,
Cowboys money.
Yeah, he got Jerry Jones. But
oh,
he's straight.
He NFL money.
Yeah,
oh,
he okay. Good. He not coming back, man.
There we go. That's, yeah, they got abused. Didn't they just get abused?
Yep, they just got smashed by Denver.
He's doing a good job.
Yeah.
Keep up the good work.
They going to get abused Sunday night, too.
Yeah, I didn't hear Jerry Jones bring him up in the moral victory that day, but I'm sure we'll talk about that later. I'm trying to think, is there any more college shit, Justin? Is there any more college shit you want to talk about? Those are the only stories I cared about, were the Lane Kiffin getting fired at the airport, which, by the way, is
they left so, his bag on the bus.
Yeah, it's so dope to fire someone that way. Like, it's fucked up, but it's such a good story. Like, how mad were you?
They showed the office where they met at Arizona State to decide. It looked like, remember when they had Saddam Hussein in that little hidey hole?
Yeah.
The office was like 4x4 closet. They're like, yo, we're going to do this. We're going to do it. You want to do it now? Let's do it when we get back to L.A. We're going to do it. No, tell them to get off the bus. Then we're going to fire
him. Right.
Ready? Break.
Oh, my God. I wonder if it was just like, yeah, so everybody that still works at the university stay on the bus. Not you, Lane. Lane, you get, yeah, we need to talk to you outside. But everybody else that still has a job or is on the roster, continue to stay seated. And they won this game, Thursday. They just won the game.
We'll see what happens because they're still not very good. And they tried hard to lose that game after they started hot, like a team with energy. And then it got to be a one score game in the third, fourth quarter. And they're like, okay, we need to do something else.
Fire your coach boost, next game boost,
yep,
is notorious in college football anyway. Like, it doesn't, it don't even last a whole game most of the time. And it definitely don't last a whole season. Like, you got fired because that team sucks.
It's
so,
the assistants trying to prove they can get the head coaching job.
Yeah, the person, I don't know how much y'all know about Ed Orgeron. Mm-hmm. They call him Coach O. He is he's a Cajun for real. Like, when he's like, I'm on, you know, he talk like Farmer Fran. Like, he's for real.
The water boy.
He's trying to keep this job. He wants to keep this job so bad. And the problem is, whoever gets hired next, they're going to keep him on. Because you can't fire this guy because kids love him. Like, he's one of those few adult men that has found this way in strictly football zone to get high school dudes that want to play football for him. Like, he got it. You can't fire him.
Well, it kind of reminds me of when Dabo Sweeney got that job.
Yep.
Like, they didn't nobody see that coming. They was like, yeah, we need to interview some people, and damn, these people like Dabo.
I love Dabo Sweeney, though. It's exactly like that. Like, it's a dude that you want to play football for.
Mm-hmm.
He probably shouldn't be the coach, but you want to play football for him. And Dabo realized, you know what, I probably shouldn't be the coach. I'm going to go hire some people. And he went and hired some really good people around him. Orgeron ain't going to keep this job, but he's going to be at USC, I think, for a while.
It's one of those things, man, where you don't have the pressure of being the head coach.
Mm.
So you can sit back and be like, look, guys, man, y'all come on, play with us. Like, he's the guy that lines up the girls.
Yeah.
He's the guy bringing the food in the middle of the night.
Hey, you know what else, too, man? Like, a dude, like, in Dabo's situation, he knew how to drop a soundbite, man. Like, that shit goes a long way, dude. Like, dude was able to, like, talk some shit about their rivals and stuff immediately.
Their brains beat by South Carolina, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but didn't nobody care because, you know, well, Clemson fans are kind of used to shit like that, but they're not really necessarily used to coaches that are, like, drop that ether on people.
Not since Danny Ford. Like, I can't remember what he said. He said, print that, tweet that.
Mm-hmm.
He said something about South Carolina. He said, yeah, you can print that, tweet that.
Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, oh, I like this dude. And he kept that job, man. So I wouldn't be surprised if Coach O managed to slide up in there if he able to drop a soundbite or two, man. Got to get on that press grind.
One good blowout. Mike Field, what you think about Florida State's quarterback?
Jameis.
Yes.
Jameis Winston.
And,
he's advanced.
But he has a necklace. He has a guy that comes out and puts his jewelry on him.
I saw that.
Yeah, you can't. It's hard to put it on yourself with the shoulder pads.
But you know what I was thinking? When I saw that, I was like, Jerry Jones jealous.
Yeah, oh yeah. Jerry Jones got a flip phone.
He mad that he got somebody to wipe his glasses, but this guy getting it done for free.
His son-in-law cleared his glasses.
Jerry got to pay somebody for that.
Hey, you know what I noticed the most about the dude that puts on the chain? Famous Jameis does not stop moving so he can put his chain on.
Yes.
That's a skill, dude.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if y'all ever tried to put somebody's chain on. It's hard as shit. If they don't stand still, it's even harder. And Famous Jameis was really like drinking his Gatorade, dabbing up the other team and shit. And I was like, yo, this dude is getting his chain on no matter what.
I bet you he'll get punched in the chest if he fuck up.
Oh, yeah. Don't drop it on the ground, dude. It's my chain.
Yeah, you can't.
I didn't realize people still wore chains. That was the biggest news to me.
Man, I'm going to be honest, though.
You wear a chain?
Listening.
Trinidad James.
Listening to Trinidad James on the way over here. It made me want to get a chain and a gold tooth.
Yeah.
Real talk. I felt like listening to this song, I needed to have me a gold tooth and I needed a chain on. And it's that, if you don't like me, nigga, then fight.
I would like to, if I'm going to get a chain, I'm going to kick it old school and get one of those G unit, the spinner chains.
That's what
I'm going to go back to. I'm going to get one of those. You know what? I should do that. I'll be the only blogger with a platinum chain with the spinner on it.
You probably can get them on sale now too.
I feel like I would injure myself with one of those.
Don't put your fingers in it.
Not that. Yeah. Just I would get it caught in something, and next thing you know, it'd choke me down, and then I'd be stuck like
it's caught in the garbage disposal. Right. Pulling your face in.
Right. Like it might slice through my neck or something. Like I just feel like I would hurt myself with that chain. Like I'm not. The chain I would get. Like, ironically, it would just be like a choker. Like, it would be that small and tight. Like, you remember back in the day when your first chain, your mama got you, and it was real tight around your neck? You'd be like, ma, this too little. Yeah. I can't.
It was all thin and shit.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, real thin. Like, it was snap.
Right. Yeah. That was that chain that everybody got in a fight over because you try to, like, play basketball in that chain.
And someone's hand got caught in it.
Don't touch my chain, man. Who broke my chain?
I got to tell my mama.
Yeah. All right, man. I couldn't think of any more college stories.
There's no more.
Yeah, those are the main things I saw. And, you know, we had to get balls deep on those. let's talk about some NFL football. As always, we like to go back through the last week. We don't like to do previews too much on here, but go back through the last week and talk about some games and stuff. Last night, the Giants lost to the Bears. And my man Brandon Jacobs is back. He had a 100-yard game. Got him like a couple touchdowns and everything. Eli Manning is just terrible. That's all it is to it. Like I've been saying it for a while because David Wilson was getting all the blame because he fumbled. But I didn't understand how Coughlin would be like, David Wilson fumbled. He can never play again. Eli Manning has like 15 interceptions at this point. Why does he get to keep playing then? If you care about the ball so much and turnovers, you can't have the dude that leads the league in interceptions starting every game, but then benching the best offensive talent on the team right now. So, yeah, I'm glad it illustrated my point. David Wilson didn't get to play last night because he's hurt. But Eli continued to throw them picks because he's not hurt and he keeps playing. So, yeah, Eli Manning is terrible, and Giants fans, y'all should be ashamed of yourselves. all right, let's do some analysis here. Bills played the Browns. I didn't care much about this game. The Browns had 37, so they continue to reverse tank.
I care.
That's not good. Why are they doing that?
Right, and that's why I care, because I'm not used to this. Like, they have 3 wins already in the season. That's normally by, like, week 14.
Yeah.
They're
going to miss out
win.
On all the good quarterbacks.
I feel like they are just so bad at doing what they set out to do. It's like, yo, man, let's win some games, dude. And then it's like 0-2. They're like, Shit. You know what? Fuck it. Let's just lose the rest of them and get a good pick. Why can't we lose? Like, 37 points is such a good winning effort. It's a lot of points, man.
That's a lot of dudes trying to keep a job, man.
On a macro level, that's the thing about the NFL. When people say take it, I'm always kind of like, it takes a little bit more than just, you know, saying we want to lose, because them niggas want jobs.
Yeah, man. One of my best friends plays for the Packers, and dog, you're not going to get him out on the field and him not go try to hurt somebody.
Right. So I'm supposed to miss a tackle because we want to lose? How do I know I have a job next year?
Exactly. That's going to be on my tape, and I need that.
Mm-mm. Yeah. They're going to have – when I come in there talking about that raise next year, they're going to be like, no, man, here you go. Look getting blown by. Right. Why'd you jump for that dude's ankles? Nah, we was trying to tank.
Yep. Yeah, it definitely has to fall down in the scheme and the plays design.
They just gotta start calling, you know, quarterback sneak. But coach, it's 3rd and 10.
You better do that shit.
quarterback sneak.
The Patriots.
I want the strong safety up.
Let's call a punt.
It's
1st and 10.
A week after, I started getting a bunch of tweets from my man K-Bad because I said that Tom Brady and Bomani said this too. I said that Tom Brady is pretty much as like good as his receivers to some extent. Like, he's not infallible. He's kind of gotten this reputation that you can put anyone on the field with him and someone's going to have a 1500 yard season, because Tom Brady is just so good that it doesn't matter who his receivers are. Unlike every other quarterback in NFL history, it doesn't even matter. Yep. Anyone out there. And he had a good week. The week before, Kimbrell Tompkins had like a 100-yard game. They scored like 3 or 4 touchdowns. And my boy K-Baz was like, see, you said that, but you was wrong. He already having a good week, and it's only week three of the season. And I said, first of all, that wasn't a Tom Brady game. That was just a decent game for a mediocre quarterback. If I was a Tom Brady fan, I wouldn't accept that as proof of him being back. I would be like, well, he's on his way or something. And then the next week, he proceeded to, put up 6 points for the game.
Well, he didn't put up any points.
Yeah, exactly. Like, offensively, they had a 6-point game. I don't know that that's anything to brag about. I felt like it kind of vindicated what we were saying. He had 197 yards, threw a pick, had a whole lot of sad faces. He's very disgusted with himself and his receivers. I think the receiver that had the most yards, Danny Amendola, had 55 yards. He's just as fallible as any other quarterback as far as, you know, he's going to need some help. Gronkowski will be back soon. And it'll be fine, but please don't come in my Twitter timeline telling me how this dude is different than everybody else. He's not.
Yeah, they tried to blame it on the rain at the end of that fourth quarter. I was like, did you watch the third?
What about the other three quarters with no rain?
Especially when he was throwing those terrible passes.
Yeah, what about, I bet when he goes on Facebook, he like passive aggressively likes all of Wes Welker statuses, man. Like, hey dog, you know, what's up with you, man? I see you taking pictures of Peyton now.
Pick up down all the YouTube commercials that he's in.
Yeah, yeah. He be poking Wes Welker on Facebook, man.
Hey, man,
you're back, man. Yeah. What you up to, man? What's up? You been wanna go out and throw some?
No, but remember, that was a shrewd move by the Patriots organization. They obviously know what they're doing.
Another myth is that the Patriots are this organization that never makes mistakes.
Yep. Wes obviously lost a step the last few years.
They always get rid of a guy a year too early instead of a year too late. Sometimes being a year too early is wrong also. And in this case, it's wrong. They would be way better with Wes Welker right now. And I mean, to their credit, man, they're finding a way to get these W's. But they're one of those teams that, if we're going to be honest about their status in football, it's going to be measured by their playoffs and if they win a Super Bowl.
Well,
and they haven't won one since they stopped cheating.
They have been saying that they found a way. The Patriot way. They find a way to win.
Mm-hmm.
They've been playing
some scrubs.
Miami,
the Bills,
right.
The Jets, rookie quarterbacks in this situation.
The Falcons, Matty Ice.
Matty Ice. And then they lost to the Bengals. So, you know, hey, but good luck to them, man. Like, I hate them as an organization and as people and shit, but other than that, they cool. The Packers beat the Lions. Only thing I would note on this is Calvin Johnson didn't play and everybody on the Lions went back to normal. Good grief. Reggie Bush was back to just being Reggie Bush for the other 8 years. Cause before everybody was like, yeah, he's having like an MVP running back season. This is a different Reggie Bush. It's about time he fulfilled his potential. And then Calvin Johnson wasn't out there and they was like, put eight in the box and shit changed. Everything changed for Reggie. Reggie was like, where are all these niggas coming from? I can't.
I thought he found a magic recipe and I guess not, man.
Hey, the magic recipe was I'm not getting hit till I get into the secondary.
Yep.
That is the magic recipe is.
And I'm running the same side that Megatron runs.
Exactly. On. First dude to touch me is a DB. I'm good, but.
Yo, did you see the story that came out of this game?
Nah, what story was that?
Apparently, the center for Detroit cussed out some University of Wisconsin that were there playing at Green Bay. The center for Detroit cussed them out, and they complained because they said he used some homophobic language and talked bad about the dude's mom and his sister. And I was like, wait a second, something is off.
Mm-hmm.
Something is off here. The band was on the field, and the guy told something, called the dude, he called him a fag.
Right.
And then he said, I'll fuck your mom and your sister in the cunt.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. Why would he do that?
That's crazy.
Like, there's got to be, like, something.
Yeah, something
somebody
missing.
Somebody said something to him.
Yeah, something is missing. It's kind of like when, LeGarrette Blount punched that dude.
Yeah.
And everybody that was not black was just like, wow, that guy is a fucking savage animal. Why would he do that? Risk his whole career. And all black people was like, yo, he must have said something.
Said something. Like, somebody dude. Said something. Because you're a football player. And here's the two things that got me on that story was you're a football player. You're used to people saying stuff to you all the time.
Right.
Like, you don't really say anything back. And then the other thing. It's amazing to me who gets to complain about what gets said and who doesn't. Mm. Like, fans give Michael Vick the middle finger forever. Michael Vick gives the middle finger to some fans. Now it's a story.
Fine. Yeah. He got a fine.
Yeah.
People been shouting at that center. Was it Dominique Raviola or something like that? They've been shouting at this dude his whole life. Ever since he's been in college, at least, they've been shouting at him, cussing him out, calling him names. He cuts out a band member. All of a sudden, people are like, oh, my God, you can't treat the band member like that.
Yeah, I do want to know what's supposed to happen to him, though. Because, like, do they have it on film? Like, do they have it recorded?
No, it's the guy made a Facebook post. He wrote a Facebook post about it that was like, he talked about my recently deceased mother. And I was like, well, first of all, son.
How is he supposed to know that? I hate people like that. I hate you. God, I hate people like that.
He doesn't know you're your mom.
Right. Like, I hate, like, I'll have that happen to me where somebody will be like, such and such, your mother, my mother has colon cancer. I'm like, dude, you know I didn't fucking know that, and you know exactly what I mean. Stop. Yeah. You act like I went to your house, looked up all your private information, went through your trash, found out your mother has colon cancer, waited for the perfect time to say it to you. And I probably was saying it as like a lighthearted joke or something, and now it's a thing. Stop, man. He couldn't have known that man's mom was dead.
He doesn't know who this. He told him he was going to put a tube up his ass. So, I'm sorry, but like, I read that story, and there were so many people that were like, I was in band, and it's just, they are getting bullied. And I was like, listen, okay, something happened.
Yeah.
You don't just go off on people like that. And number two, so what? You're in the arena?
Yeah.
You're on the field. Stay. If he said this to another NFL player, nobody's upset. Said it to a kid in the band. Now all of a sudden people are like, my son is in the band, and they shouldn't get talked to that way.
Now, Mike, I know you live in Charlotte, but you're not from Charlotte, though, right?
I'm from Charlotte. Let me put it this way. I was born in Fayetteville. I've lived in Charlotte since 1993.
Okay, so then you know, like, Harding Van, West Charlotte Van.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They talk shit worse than the football players.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So
first of all, to be fair, Harding's football players can't talk shit.
Okay. That's a good point.
Be serious.
That's a good point. I could have made the team at Harding.
Right.
Like they wanted me to try out, and I was in ninth grade, and I had asthma. And it was a magnet school. I was like, motherfucker, I'm here for engineering. They're like, you should try out for the football team. You're kind of big. I was like, man, I'll be out there dying and shit for y'all. Fuck no.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I mean, that's the thing though that's funny is, if it's unprovoked, the story's way too crazy.
Yeah.
And if it's provoked, then he still went over the line PC wise, but way more reasonable of a story. It sounds more like, oh, you said something to this dude, and he was like, oh, really, motherfucker? Guess what I'm willing to say? And I always support the people that are willing to take it there an extra level. Like, just don't fuck with people like that.
That band member was like, time out. No, time out.
Yeah.
Time out.
Band member was like, but what about the rules? Mm-mm. Ain't no rules. Don't talk to me.
That dude, Rayola, is like, yo, I get cussed out every game. Every game I get cussed out. People cussing me out with cuss words I've never heard before. Mm. He probably gets called nigger every game. Every game.
Yeah. Yep.
Every single game he gets cussed out. He gets cussed out by people. And imagine someone, he's from, oh my God, I'm trying to figure out where he was from, born in Hawaii.
Mm.
Imagine a dude from Hawaii getting cussed out by someone from Mississippi.
And this is at halftime, Mike?
No, this was before the game.
Okay.
Like,
all right.
This dude, Rayola, is getting cussed out by everybody. A band member says something, and he goes, okay, I got some profanity to shoot back at this guy.
Yeah.
I've been working on it.
And then, dude, and also, these people that make these Facebook posts and shit after the fact.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Why didn't he just go over there and fight him?
Yeah. You so bad.
Yep.
Go over there. See if he won't put that tube up your ass. I guarantee you sat there and thought about it and said, I'm going to make a Facebook post about this.
Wait till I get home.
Yeah.
That's what he said. I'm at work right now, and that's what people shouldn't do at work.
Right.
So why were you talking to him while you were at work then? You should have been having your ass blowing your instrument or whatever it is that you play.
Yeah, I didn't even know about that story.
Saw it on Monday morning, and I was just like, is this real?
Yeah, that's...
especially because when I was a freshman, we played at Wisconsin. I didn't travel, but the stories that my teammates told me of the people that were walking around the field on the tarmac and the people on the, they have this fence, they have this street, this main drag. They put chain link fences up so you can walk bar to bar with an open container.
Mm-hmm.
They were beer bottles again thrown at the bus. One of my buddies said a fan walked up right behind him. They've got a fence and then there's the bench and there's a little tarmac to walk on. Fan was right behind him yelling in his ear, Hey, Jernigan. He kept trying to ignore him. Jernigan, I'm fucking talking to you, Jernigan. Marty turned around. He goes, yeah, Jernigan, you fucking suck. Right in his face, eye to eyeball.
Yep. Just like for years, the media still does, actually, protects the Green Bay Packers fans. And like how they moon the other team's bus and all this shit.
Yep.
And nobody ever talks about it. Then Randy Moss does a pantomime moon after a touchdown. They act like it happened out of nowhere. Like it just... They're like, yeah, I can't believe the guy. Wow, this is disgusting. This is the worst thing I've ever seen in football. I'm like, wait a minute. These fans actually moon the players every game? Well, yeah, I mean, you know.
They're fans. Football. They're okay.
Just tradition. I'm like, fuck you, man.
Same fans that throw drinks at basketball players who happen to get punched in the face.
Yeah. And that's why Randy Moss will always be the greatest, man. Because he said,
he's the best.
Next time, I might pull my dick out. Next time I might shake my dick. I was like, this dude is the best.
He's the best.
He's the best dude ever.
Just chalk it up there, dog.
Yeah. Just throw it up. Just chuck it up there, dog.
He lived in a retirement community.
He a beast, man. That's one of my favorite NFL players of all time, man.
I understand. Oh, without a doubt.
Like, I measure people by their dislike of Randy Moss.
I salute the general.
Seattle lost to the Colts, man. Andrew Luck good.
I was so sad.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. Andrew Luck is good. He done beat the 49ers and the Seahawks. Pretty difficult to do, man. That's pretty much all there is to say about that. Ravens beat the Dolphins. Don't really care. Saints beat the Bears. The Saints are good. Drew Brees is back.
Coach back.
Coach back, man. Coach matter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Try to downplay it as much as people want. That shit matter. That dude just came back and was like, we're going to be good again. And it happened.
You know what else is great, though?
Mm-hmm.
Is their coach had an entire season to just sit and watch team by team and break their shit down without having to worry about other player issues.
Yeah.
And just sit and analyze every team. I bet he's dissected every team, all the weaknesses.
He is a workaholic too, and you know that they weren't like, cause they were like, he can't be in the facility. You know he was still at home studying all that shit. There's no way he was like, you know what?
And they got the all 22 now.
Yep, they do got the all 22, man. He's like, I'm about to watch all this shit all day. This is what I'm on.
Yeah, he.
Don't worry, I just got this account through my cable provider.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? I'm gonna make Josh Freeman lose his job. How about that? The Eagles beat the shit out of the Giants.
Yo.
Even with our backup quarterback in.
You know what I said when y'all won this game?
Look, Mom, no hamstrings? Is that
we
what they
can't, no. The Redskins can't lose to the Giants now.
Yeah, we disrespected the Giants, dog. They 0-5, man. What happened to y'all?
Oh, my God. They're 0-5. I didn't realize they were 0-5.
0-5, dog. What happened to y'all?
Oh, my God.
Y'all used to be beautiful, man. Look at y'all. This is terrible. Like, they should fire people behind this. 0-5.
That's so bad.
I don't even know who's next on the schedule, but at this point, they're becoming that team that you don't want to lose to because right. That makes you sorry.
Right.
No. That's the Jaguars still.
Oh, they lost to Chicago. So I think they might be 0-6 right now. Let me see. Yeah, 0-6.
Yeah, they lost. Was it last night?
Yeah.
They lost last night.
Yeah.
0-6. So Minnesota is on you, dog. You know, they play us at the Minnesota in Philly. So yeah, man, these motherfuckers are terrible. And it's mostly Eli Manning's fault. And don't nobody want to talk about it just because he won them two Super Bowls. But Eli is playing real bad.
It's mostly Eli Manning's fault.
Dude, man, we was at the bar last night, man. This motherfucker threw a pick, and then they got back in the game. Like, they stopped the Bears from scoring on fourth and goal. And my boy was like, why do you go for it on fourth and goal? And I said, because you believe you'll be back. That's why. Because you're like, we didn't get it the first possession, but Eli will give it back to us. Dude, Eli immediately threw a pick six. I was like, this dude is terrible, man. I was laughing so hard in the bar, man. What a terrible quarterback. The Chiefs continue to win. They beat the Titans. I still think the Chiefs are fronting. They're front runners. I like Alex Smith, and I like his story of redemption and shit. I love to see a dude that kind of got screwed over in his job, has some success and all that shit, but anybody that knows about fantasy football knows that Alex Smith is bullshit, because I got Dwayne Bowe on my team, and this nigga cannot have a game where he gets like more than 40 yards. And that's gonna definitely be a problem in the playoffs. Sorry, but it is. That
I don't know about fantasy football, so yeah. I am fascinated by fantasy football talk.
Fantasy football really honestly has increased my knowledge of the game tenfold, because you start looking at games to see what the fuck happened. And that's when you go, oh, they won't throw to this side because of this player. And now you start using that knowledge next week. Like, oh, I have another player going up against Darrell Revis. I'm not going to start that guy because he'll lock your ass up. Yeah, that's how I learn about shit, man. The Cleveland Browns have a cornerback that's a beast, man. And
Joe Hayden.
Yeah, I only know that because of fantasy football. I got tired of being like, yo, Andre Johnson going the fuck off this 40 yards. But it's the Browns. And then you find out, like, Joe Hayden don't give a fuck about it being the Browns. He lock your ass up. You got a job to do.
I will say this the year to get Jamal Charles. Normally I wouldn't say, normally I wouldn't say start a running back under Andy Reid, but this new Andy Reid 2.0.
Dude, I am so waiting for the Andy Reid, like, Matador okie doke, that like that game where we just have the Jamal Charles only got 5 touches game. Or
the Ray Rice syndrome.
Dude, I'm so waiting for it, man. Like, I will give Andy credit though, and I've said this for years. Anytime we had a white quarterback, he calls the game way better. So this might be the solution for him anyway. But dude, he'll call less risky plays. They'll have way more checkdowns. They'll run the ball. But it was only when we had non-black quarterbacks. We had Jeff Garcia. And it used to piss me off because it would start this controversy like, maybe they shouldn't even start McNabb. Just put Jeff Garcia in the game. I was like, just call the same game plan for McNabb and we will never have a quarterback controversy.
Do you think that maybe it's reverse racism though?
It might be.
He believes the black quarterbacks are so good that they don't need the extra advantages like a run game.
That's my theory. My theory is, black quarterbacks are like having the big Joker in a spades hand, but you don't have, but you just start thinking dumb shit like, I don't need a lot of spades. You know what I mean? I'm not even gonna play my ace of hearts yet. I'm gonna wait. I'm cutting books, dog. And you wait on everything too late and you end up losing because you just have bad strategy. That's what happens with black quarterbacks, man. Like, how many black quarterbacks in the NFL do not have highly drafted receivers after they're drafted? Like, Cam Newton was drafted. They spent a number one pick on Cam Newton in Charlotte, in Carolina. And they still haven't spent a high draft pick on a receiver. That's crazy.
The Panthers are so hilarious to me.
It's systematic. Like, Robert Griffin III. They draft Robert Griffin III. They have another high draft pick. They draft another quarterback.
Makes sense.
Insanity. That would never happen with a white quarterback. I can't even imagine Andrew Luck without T.Y. Hilton.
Even Cleveland didn't do that.
Yeah. Like, everybody knows you don't do that shit. Like, you go out and get offensive help because you can't just throw a quarterback out there like that's all you got, man. You know, Michael Vick played for Atlanta for however many years. These motherfuckers refuse to draft any wide receivers.
Or linemen.
They get Matty Ice for a year and they're like, yo, we got to move everything to get Julio Jones. Hell and high water. Whatever we need to do to get Julio Jones, it needs to happen.
They got that other receiver too. Is it White?
Roddy White.
Yep. Roddy White, yeah.
And Harry Douglas.
Whoever you can get, dog. They go out and spend money and get picks and get these dudes for white quarterbacks. That's it.
I've never thought about it like that. Like, I'm going to have to go back and look. I got to go back and look.
Yeah, I know, man, because look at the teams where black quarterbacks fail. You'd be like, wait a minute. Who else was he supposed to throw to? Remember, what's the sorry dude that we all make jokes about now? Play for Oakland.
Jamarcus Russell.
Jamarcus Russell left. They've had more than one quarterback since he's left. Still ain't had a good wide receiver.
Yep. Well, we'll see next
year. He was playing with some bullshit. That's all I'm saying.
We'll see next year what they got Pryor. We'll have to see.
Oh, man. If you think they drafting a wide receiver to help Terrell Pryor out, I got some new shit for you.
I love Terrell Pryor, too.
I love, man, he is the black Tim Tebow without the religion, dude. Like, I fucks with Terrell Pryor. But nah, they not going to go get help. Does he black?
I feel like you just insulted him, though, because he's actually good.
Nah, it's complimentary, man, because the reason I supported Tim Tebow is because if he was black, everybody would have supported him that was hating him, and if he was, and everybody that was supporting him would have hated him. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah. Oh, I see what you like, the reverse.
He basically a black quarterback, but he white and religious, and everybody threw that shit out the window because, he was out there winning. And everybody black people all of a sudden got real reasonable about the shit. Like, well, you know, statistically, he might be winning, but it doesn't matter because I'm like, no, how many times have we been like, Vince Young get wins? I don't care what the stats look like. But all of a sudden, we reasonable because he white. Fuck that, man. He cool with me. I still fuck with Tebow. I have a different appreciation for that guy than most people.
I can't stand him.
Yeah, I love the dude, man. He seems like a wholesome dude, down to earth.
I like to root for people that I want to kick it with. I don't want to kick it with him.
I would never kick it with Tim Tebow. I never want to hang out with Tim Tebow. That shit would be boring as hell. Probably playing Scrabble and reading the Bible and shit.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah. That's the thing though. Tebow is always out where the women be at. He just doesn't get them.
Wears those terrible black pinstripe shirts.
It makes you look all the better though.
He is the antithesis of cool, but you're right. Maybe he's a good wingman. I don't know. I feel like if I brought chicks over to the table, Tebow would start like talking about religion and shit, man. He just seemed like that kind of dude.
Girl, I'm gonna take you home and pray with you.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you go to Florida with chill dudes like Percy Harvin.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Hernandez.
He's a chill dude.
He's a chill dude.
But Aaron cool in my book.
I think
book.
What you better say is he's a kill dude.
No, not on this show.
Yeah, not us. We believe in his innocence. And
Free Hernandez.
Yeah, Aaron, innocent to prove guilty.
Also Riley Cooper, yes.
Oh, he was kicking it with Riley. I feel like he was keeping dudes in line.
He was kicking it with Riley Cooper.
I feel like he was keeping him in line, dog.
I feel like Riley Cooper was getting... No, here's the thing. As someone that spent my life in that environment, Riley Cooper chill with folk. He chill with black people.
Yeah.
He hung out with black people. You can't be a wide receiver in a wide receiver meeting room and not pick up some blackness.
Of course, yeah. But I feel like the reason we didn't find out that Aaron Hernandez allegedly kills people or Riley Cooper has problems with racism is the influence of Tebow, man. Feel like he was just a good influence on dudes, man, like a good leader. He
prayed on those teams.
And you know what's funny, man? Like, to a man, when you talk to the people in the locker rooms and shit, they be like, yeah, he a good leader. Like, they believe in him, man. He really is a black quarterback, dude. If this motherfucker had black skin, everything would be different about this dude. Everything.
Would he still be in the NFL?
Exactly.
No. He wouldn't even have got drafted probably. But the point being, like, it would have been so different. There's a ton of religious black people. A ton. But Priest Holmes prayed every time he got a touchdown. I've never seen so many stories on one dude's religion, man. They're like, yo, he liked to kneel. Like he was praying that the other team would miss a field goal when he was on the sideline. I'm like, everybody does that.
If he was black,
that's messed up praying. You're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, it's the worst kind of prayer.
If he was black, they would call him the fake ass man of God.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they hit on.
Let me get through the rest of these games. The Rams played the Jaguars. They beat them, but the Jaguars suck and so do the Rams.
Nothing to see though.
Yeah. The Cardinals beat the Panthers. I didn't get to watch this game, but I heard they was giving up sacks left and right.
Dude, I saw there's a guy who who's married to my girlfriend's coworker, and I check his Twitter from time to time. And I argue him on things. Like, he hates Cam Newton. Mm. He's like, maybe Cam Newton's the problem. We should fire this entire coaching staff. We need to start from scratch.
Yeah.
This is terrible. And I'm just like, what is wrong? Like, you got a problem.
Yes. It's sick,
man. You have a real problem. And I argued with him to the point where my girlfriend looks at me and she goes, I think you're going to hurt his feelings. And I was like, well, I think I need to unfollow this clown because he is a joke.
Yeah, it really is bad at this point. Steve Smith did manage to make the news in this game. He waited a few days, but he said that the referee apparently was terrible. He says, to be honest, I make enough money where if Roger wants to find me, shout out to the dudes who called Roger Goodell by his first name.
Everyone calls him that.
I love it.
Yep.
Because it's not out of respect or kinship. It's only disrespect. It's only disrespect when they say that shit. He says, yeah, I make enough money where if Roger wants to find me, he can. I really think that referee probably was the sorriest referee I've ever met. Number 64, he was garbage. There's a lot of things I would let him hold, but nothing valuable. Number Number 64 told me on my route, I felt like I got held where he had the back of my jersey. Smith said the defender used that to slingshot his way through and bat the ball down. And he grabbed my jersey. He saw it, but he didn't think it was enough to change the course of the route. I've only been playing football for a little bit, just picked it up. I said, okay. he said, one time we were on defense, he was standing on the sideline. He decided to continue the conversation I never started. I said, okay, it was pretty interesting. Yeah, that I do hate crazy people that do that. Where you know someone's crazy because they have a conversation in their head that you never talked about. But they're just like, yeah, man, and another thing. You're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
What was the first thing?
Yeah, like that's how you know you bad at your job, man. You created a whole nother fucking situation. He says it was pass interference in Mexico, Europe, rugby, and pretty much every other sport but Arizona yesterday. But then when I pushed off, it was pass interference.
I do like that push off call though. I'm very pro push off. If you push off, I want a push off called every time.
Yeah, yeah, I do like me some push off calls too.
But he said Mexico.
Yeah, this dude said that motherfucker said rugby, dog.
He counted Mexico as a sport though.
Yeah. He said it's pass interference in Mexico, Europe, rugby, and pretty much every other sport.
I don't know. Listen, I don't know about you guys, but when I am playing a nice a very exciting match of Europe, I like to know that when I transition to my Mexico game, I'm going to be in good shape.
You're right.
Before I play rugby.
When I dove for the first down, he was standing right there. He didn't even acknowledge that. He received a check that day. I hope he feels good because he was terrible. This is so good. My drop pass cost us the game. I ran a slant. I should have caught that. I didn't. I got a P.I. penalty, which was very interesting. I got my leg humped and hugged a few times. Being a pretty good flag football player, I think I got my flag pulled on my jersey a few times. I would say pretty much I take that one on the chin and say that's me. So yeah, that was Steve Smith, very upset by this game.
So he actually admitted he does play flag football, because when he broke his arm.
When he broke his arm? Yeah.
I don't play flag football.
He's like, now I don't know how that happened. I was like, nigga, we know. Everybody saw you play.
They got pictures.
Football.
Like, people pulled out their cell phones and took pictures.
He's like, nah, not me. Mm-hmm. Pay my contract. Let's see. Broncos beat the Cowboys. Only thing funny here is, Tony Romo. Tony Romo has a game of his life, throws a pick at the end of the game.
He can't win.
It's just what he does, man.
Like, it's just so, like, I feel bad for him. Like, he can't, like, he's not bad.
He is terrible.
Then just bad stuff happens to him. Like, he's, like, cursed.
Yeah, I just hate the Cowboys, so I'm for him fucking up. Like, my favorite part about this was Jerry Jones trying to act like it wasn't a big deal.
Good job.
Like, we don't know.
He hit him with the good job, good effort.
Dude, he said, it's not just, I don't believe in like moral victories. And then went on to explain why this is a moral victory. It's funny at this point that it keeps happening to Tony Romo. And, it's funny too that all the Cowboys fans ran with exactly what Jerry said, man. Like Jerry basically came out and told them what to say. And Cowboys fans were like, okay. So keep believing that shit if y'all want to, but that motherfucker is, just the opposite of clutch, man. And I hate the term clutch, but he is one of those dudes that I just 100% believe when a game is on the line, he will find a way to have a mental error, man. Yeah. Sorry, bruh. And people's like, he stepped on someone's foot. I'm like, but I was looking at that pass the whole time. That shit was never really open.
Yeah, he had three people around him.
Yeah, like even on the good, like 2 foot step into it, 100% effort throw.
Two foot step into it.
Yeah, like best case scenario, that guy batted down. You know, like, just a bad idea, man.
You know what you do in that situation? Take the sack.
You take the sack, or you throw it away. You do a lot of shit, but if you're Tony Romo, you throw that shit right to that linebacker. Yep. That's what you do.
Hopefully, he plays like Eli Manning on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. I am. Let's see. Who do they play? Right, they play y'all.
Yep. Sunday night.
Shit. you know what? Can both teams like just collide into each other and like the beginning of the X-Men cartoon and just destroy each other?
Oh my God.
just run on the field. An explosion happens and the X-Men logo pops up. 49ers beat the shit out of Texas. So I guess the 49ers are back, according to everybody, knee-jerk reaction.
Well, we called that last week though. It's Schaub. It's not.
Matt Schaub is
TJ Yates in.
Dude, Trinidad James Yates needs to be starting for the Texans.
That's my boy. Play him.
Play him, dog. It can't be worse. Like, that's the thing. People keep going like, well, they don't have any other options. I mean, are these guys?
He won a playoff game. TJ won a playoff game.
Mm-hmm. Hey, are these guys better than Matt Schaub? We won't know until you put them on the field.
Yes.
What we do know is Matt Schaub got 4 pick sixes in the last 4 games. That's a lot.
He's going for a record.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's just going through some things at home.
Maybe.
Yo, did you see that story?
Oh, actually, I have that saved for later. Mm-hmm. The Raiders and the Chargers. Chargers lost to the Raiders. On the low, the Chargers are 2-3. I don't know why everybody got so excited because Phillip Rivers had some good games. They are still 2-3, which is typical for the Chargers. So I got to throw a quick back to life, back to reality.
But shouts out to Terrell Pryor. Played a good game.
Mm-hmm. Terrell is doing it. Man, and another dude that if you play fantasy football, you recognize that the homie be putting up numbers.
Yep.
And then the Falcons lost to the Jets, which was just laughable. But they also lost Julio Jones for the season.
Yeah, he's hurt.
Roddy White's going to be out. Like, they're speculating like up to 6 weeks possibly. And then they start floating rumors that Tony Gonzalez should get traded, which is weird because he says he don't want to get traded. Atlanta says they don't want to trade him. And
he's getting traded.
The media said, fuck that. He need to go.
In the town ownership says we don't want to trade him.
Yeah.
They trade your ass.
They ain't got a good offer yet. That's all that is.
But that sucks for him because he signed up just for this year just to see if they could go deep in the playoffs.
Yep. And
the Saints back.
Yeah, it's a wrap for them anyway, right? As soon as the Saints got back, I was like, yeah, this is a waste of year, dog. You should be trying to get on another team if that's what it's about.
Right, why wouldn't you go to, San Francisco, a team that went to the Super Bowl?
Kansas City is talking about it.
San Francisco don't need him.
Yeah, I wouldn't give up shit for him if I was in San Fran.
No, but I mean when he was a free agent and could have picked the team that he wanted to go to.
They got Vernon Davis.
They don't want him.
Right,
yeah.
But then I don't. And first of all, I'm halfway with my foot out the door. I don't really want that much play time. I just want to check and get a Super Bowl. You know, I want to pull that Ray Allen.
Tony want them records, man. And he still want to go down as the best tight end of all time, man. And he wouldn't get that shit splitting snaps with, like, a dude as good as Vernon Davis. So yeah,
Vernon Davis ain't splitting no snaps with him.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
Vernon Davis. Yeah, let me tell you something, dog. We played Vernon Davis in 2005, 2006. Yo, my homeboys got mauled so bad. Like, I was looking at them. I was standing on the sidelines. And I was like, man, I'm glad I'm not in the game.
Yeah, Vernon Davis seems like the type of dude that the only way that Gonzalez would get on the field would be in, like, blowouts and shit.
Yo, Vernon Davis caught the ball over my boy. Caught it in between two of them, picked it up like this, put it behind his head. They was looking up at him, and then they both fell, and he was like, how'd y'all fall? And then was holding the ball like this in the end zone.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. That Vernon, he's a freak of nature, man. All right, we got a bunch of stories. Let's get into them. The NFL can now force teams to appear on Hard Knocks.
Gross.
Yeah. That's... Yeah, that's just whack.
I like it though. I want to see Hard Knocks.
Yeah, but I kind of like that they can force teams because they should have been able to force teams because they should give us the guy with the best story.
I just don't want to see the Jets, Miami, or Cincinnati again.
Yep.
I want them to start with the Patriots.
Yeah, I feel like they should be able now to pick the messes of teams because I don't care about the good organizations. I want to see the fucked up ones. Yep. Like, show me. What the fuck is going on with the Jets now? Like, I don't care about the Jets when they were good. Show me the Jets now trying to figure some shit out. You know what I mean? Like, what's up with the Dolphins? Show me Cleveland right now. You know, like, what happened with Cleveland, man? Like, why didn't they like Trent Richardson? But yo, our man, Felder gotta go, man. Hey, Felder, thank you so much for, stopping by, dude.
Dude, it's been so fun, man. Yeah, let me know another time. I'll be glad to hop on.
No doubt.
Friday is usually my day off, so I kinda go see a movie and, you know, hang out.
Yeah, you going to see Runner Runner?
Yeah, today? Man, going to see, have you seen it?
No, man, but I'm sorry to hear that, bro.
What does that mean?
Sounds like, that movie looks terrible. I want to see it though, because my Ben Affleck as Batman agenda is, being served really well, knowing that that movie is getting terrible reviews and only made $7 million last year.
Give them a couple. I already paid for the tickets, so I'm going to go give them. They already got some of my money.
Hey, well, enjoy. Let me know what you think about it on Twitter, man. Don't spoil it.
You know I will.
But yeah, let me know what you think, man. Make sure y'all check him out, man. Like I said, In the Bleachers on Twitter. Bleacher Report. Your Best 11. Make sure you check them out, man. You still doing video pieces?
No. I'm still doing video over at bleacherreport.com.
Mm-hmm.
Still doing writing over at bleacherreport.com. All that's there. They're working me to the bone, man. I got so many projects going on. I had to work for half of my day off, so, you know, that's not my thing.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, go enjoy the rest of your day out, man. Thank you so much for doing this.
All right, no problem. You guys take it easy.
Right, yes, peace. Sir. Peace. Oh, man, I love that dude, man. Cool ass dude. All right, let me see what else I got going on here.
Now I can really sound like a professional.
Right. Now that we don't have a person that knows what they're talking about, right. Let's get into this.
So when they caught him with the dead hooker.
Yeah. Apparently the NFL lied its way out of millions of dollars in workers' comp. California. His governor signed a law in the bill that blocks athletes from filing future workers' compensation claims for games they played in the state of California. Unless they played for a California team, it was shut down thanks to intense lobbying from the NFL and other pro sports leagues that hinged on the argument that claims were costing taxpayers money, which is a blatant lie. The California Labor Code was certainly controversial. Many athletes, the bulk of them comprising thousands of former NFL players have already filed claims against their employers for injuries suffered on the job. California allowed them to cite cumulative injuries. So they could be like, yo, I had a concussion in a different game. Y'all made me play anyway. there's no need to point out the specific injury that caused the damage, which is helpful when there's not one single blow that does it. It's interesting to note that some of the players filed injury claims even while publicly dismissing the plaintiffs in the NFL concussion lawsuit. So people was filing. How you gonna be suing for workers' comp and then being like, these motherfuckers suing for these concussions on some bullshit though?
So right, that and the football players are actually suing for getting hurt on the job.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, I broke my pinky, and that's extreme. Yeah, mild,
I want my workers' comp.
I mean, you know, get it how you live. Yeah. I just know that the NFL has the best lawyers.
Yep.
They ahead of the game, apparently.
And the NFL shut that shit down. It was right. Like, mm-mm.
They've been ahead of the game with concussions on shutting it down for years. You're not.
Yep. They weren't worried about it. Someone sent this to me. I'm not sure it really has a lot of sports relationships stuff to do with it, but we'll talk about it. Three men stabbed after argument starts over LeBron versus Jordan debate. You know how intense these debates can get.
I just want to know which guy won. Like, did LeBron's team win or did Jordan's guy win? Like, you know what I mean?
You know who won? I feel like we should get some credit for starting this argument. I guarantee that the line was LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan right now. And shit just got out of control.
No, but I mean, like, the guy that finally stabbed the other people.
Oh, yeah.
Was he like, no, Jordan's better?
Oh,
was,
yeah.
Was he like, nope, mm-hmm. LeBron better?
I don't know. Like, and does that prove it?
Was that, yeah, apparently.
Like, whoever dies, that's who was wrong.
Yep. That's it. I mean, he ended the debate, so therefore he won.
Three people were stabbed, including the owner of the bar that was hosting a battle of the bands Saturday night in Harmony Township. It turned into a battle of the bands, all right. The bands that make a dance. Two men who had just moved there from Maryland showed up and started drinking. One of them began arguing with a patron about an NBA basketball shirt. Eventually, both men began blasting the Penguins and Steelers. what they don't like the Penguins, and there was some comments made about the Penguins, said Harmony Township Police Chief Jim Essick. And then ultimately it ended up about the Steelers, and they're not Steelers fans. Chief Essex says it appears that 35-year-old Michael Landeros, guess the race, and his nephew, 23-year-old Armando Encinas, were looking for trouble. Police say Encinas had a T-shaped knife with his fingers and a 4-inch blade sticking out.
A T-shaped knife.
Damn. That sounds ratchet as fuck.
It's homemade.
Yeah, that sounds designed to kill. T-shaped. But police believe owner Alex Barlomas was stabbed when he intervened. Well, that's his fault trying to break it up.
Yeah, super safe.
He starts stabbing a nigga. No, LeBron is better, motherfucker. Like, all right, I'll stay back here. Armando stabbed him in the right chest with his knife. He says employer Robert Guvalva stepped in and was stabbed. Oh, the employee Robert Guvalva stepped in and was stabbed 5 or 6 times.
Damn.
Basically because he had the knife coming out like this, basically like he was just punching. Every punch was a stab wound.
And that's what I'm saying. Knowing you have a knife in your hand, mm-hmm. and you continuously stab somebody.
Yeah, I'm not breaking up shit.
Like the first time I saw blood flying out the first dude, mm-hmm. I'm like, someone called 911.
I don't even got health insurance. Fuck y'all. When Tim Edwards, a patron, tried to help, he was stabbed in the chest and arm. Who all were they helping? Three people were all trying to help and got stabbed. Like, who was he trying? Did the person that was getting stabbed leave? Like, they didn't get stabbed at all? Because they say it's only 3 people got stabbed, and all 3 people in this article are 3 people that are trying to help. So the person that started the argument walked out clean.
He left. He argued and left. He was smart. He saw the knife and left.
He's like, I'm LeBron James, better than Michael Jordan right now. Bye. Landeros also had a knife, but he and Encinas were eventually disarmed and detained by a patron until police arrived. Police Chief Jim Essex said the discussion was about LeBron James and Michael Jordan, who's a better basketball player, because one of the guys had a LeBron James shirt on.
But who was that patron that that intervened and actually took the knife out of his hand? Was he Jean-Claude Van Damme?
I don't know.
I mean, like, this nigga just stabbed 3 people, and you feel like, I'm the master. Like, I can take this dude's knife.
Yeah, I feel like 3 people is the part where you become untouchable to me. Like, oh, he already just stabbed 3 people. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm going to be the one to defy the odds? Nah, I'm good.
What? That's what I'm saying. Who was
this dude is stabbing people.
He a part-time superhero.
Jerry Jones clarified his comments after saying that he was so proud of Tony Romo for losing that game. He said, we certainly need this win on our record. The last 2 losses are going to be a real challenge for us to overcome, of having at least 1 win of these last 3 losses. But the promise of things to come was brighter than when the Broncos game was finished the other day than when it started. And the promise was because we started seeing a lot coming together with our offense with Tony Romo. So I would say that Tony gives us the best chance, and although we haven't gotten there, that's the way he is, then that gives the Cowboys the best chance to get to a Super Bowl. And at the end of the day, that's what it is. Coming up short, second or third doesn't count. Everybody is aware that we're all getting the same talent pool, and you can't have it all. So apparently now he realizes that loss is a loss, guys. And it's not good to throw picks at the end of games.
When you the old defensive coach, do you ever call your team, like the former Dallas defensive coach, and be like, told you y'all needed me.
Mm-hmm.
See what life is like without me?
Yep. Deal with it. I would.
I would definitely rub it in.
Pryor hopes to avoid Tebow's fate. That's right. Terrell Pryor, he even recognizes that the comparisons are going to happen. He said Tebow was ready to go after working with him, Pryor said, recalling a conversation with House. Tebow looked great. He was throwing the ball great, wasn't missing anything. Then they said he went to training camp, and when he went back, he reverted back to himself because that's when the bullets are flying at you. I hope when I get the rushes, people are rushing me. I hope I don't go back to the old thing, Pryor recalled himself thinking. He has not yet. Pryor has completed 72.7% of his passes inside the pocket. Wow. The 4th best such mark in the NFL, ahead of Breeze, Matt Ryan, and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's shit. What happens when you learn how to throw a football.
Yeah, he just learned how to throw. I'm very proud of that. I'm very locked in. That's definitely something I'm proud of. It's a nonstop progression. It doesn't really catch me by surprise that it's happening. Wow. Yeah, I didn't know that, man. So, well,
the bad thing about this is he brought Tebow's name in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you just don't want the negative fate of putting Tebow
in. Here's the thing. This is a media creation. I guarantee Tebow was in the question. And then when you answer the question, they make it sound like you brought the shit up.
Oh, okay.
They do that all the time, man. We'll be like, they'll be like, yeah, Kobe, do you think that you're better than Michael Jordan? And he'll be like, well, you know, Michael was Michael and I'm Kobe. And, while Michael is, you know, the greatest, it's a different era, different time. And I have a different skill set. Kobe Bryant says he has a different skill set than Michael Jordan. Like, motherfucker, you asked me about this dude. I wasn't thinking about him. Like, this is fucked up. Mike Tomlin is sick of that shit, and he's not playing anymore. He has banned games from the locker room.
What kind of games?
Tag?
What?
Cell phone games, ping pong, pool.
These niggas got ping pong tables?
They must have.
And pool tables in the locker room?
I mean, they must have had, like, at least... they must have had at least some type of sports games or something back there. I mean, like.
So when we talking about practice, they mm-hmm. really talking about billiards and ping pong. That's really what we talking about.
Yeah. I mean, they had to at least have pinball tables back there for Ben Roethlisberger to rape women on.
No wonder Iverson was so upset talking about practice. How the hell he going to make his teammates better at some billiards?
Yeah.
How that's going to make his teammates you think better on the court?
This is what they had in the Sixers locker room.
Right.
So like, I'm gonna make you better by playing ping pong and foosball and shit.
Right. Like, no wonder he was so irate. I would have been irate too, but these niggas talk, they playing games in the locker room, but you want me to show up on time for practice.
It makes everything focus on football right now, which is A-okay with me, says Raymond Foster. Ryan Clark agreed, nobody's really tripping about it. We understand the spirit in which it is done and we're just playing football. Translation. We losing, y'all, and I just want to keep my job. Coach is mad.
But you know, if I was injured and I'm not playing anyway, but I still got to show up,
mm-hmm.
I want the games in the room. You know, your leg injured, one of my arms injured, we're playing with my good arm. Let's get this game going.
Yeah, I guess if you ever worked at a job where they're about to have massive layoffs like I have, it's really you really don't have it in you to play the games anyway. Like, you think you would, but as a person that's been laid off in massive layoffs twice, it stopped being fun at work a long time before you actually get the news. And I feel like that's what's going on with the Steelers right now. They about to have massive layoffs, dog. Like, they 0-4.
The fact he had to take the toys away, though,
yeah,
says that they were still playing.
It says that, you know what I think, dude? Honestly, they probably stopped playing 2 weeks ago. And he just made it official. Like he came in after a game. And one dude had on crutches and was still being like, anybody want to play some ping pong? Like, right after he cussed everybody out. It's like, the fuck are y'all doing out there? You embarrassing me and you embarrassing yourself. Doing, doing, doing. Who the fuck is playing pinball? Who the fuck is playing pinball? That's it. You're out of here. No more games. Get the games out of here. It divided the team in a way since one set of people couldn't do a certain thing, said Clark, one of the Steelers captains. Tomlin just wanted everybody to be together because we're all in our losses together. We're all in the business of fixing this problem together, and we didn't want anything to divide us. So I guess other people were playing. What he was saying was veterans could play the games if they had 4 years of experience. But if you had less than 4 years, you couldn't play the games. So he was like, you know what? We losing. All y'all don't got no experience to me. So, no more games for anybody.
What kind of wacky-ass rule is it?
I don't know.
I just bring my own game.
Yeah. Like, you'll probably get fired, too.
I get fired on my day off.
Yeah. Who brought a pinball machine into this fucking locker room after we took them all out? No, hold up, coach. That's mine. All right, then. All right, Justin. Yeah, just take it with you on your way.
I get what you're saying. Like, yeah, when your parents take your car keys, you're yeah, like, I bought this car. You can't take my keys.
Right.
The car I bought.
Yeah. I would love to see somebody try it. It'd make a good key and feel skit. But, yeah, your ass would get in trouble.
Shout out to that new season.
The New York Jets, have taken David Garrard off the retired list. Why?
Yeah, why?
Why?
Who wants him?
What are y'all doing?
They didn't want him on Hard Knocks. Miami didn't want him on Hard Knocks.
I don't, Mark Sanchez is done for the season. You got Geno Smith as your starter, who y'all should just go ahead and commit to and stop trying to fuck around with the dude. Let him make his mistakes. They got Matt Sims and they got Brady Quinn. Why do you need David Garrard?
You should have went and got McNabb.
Yeah. So yeah, David Garrard taking off the list. I don't get it. A source close to law enforcement told the Fred and Ted show late Tuesday evening that the Houston police have been contacted by the NFL after fans approached the Houston Texan quarterback Matt Schaub at his home and berated him for his recent poor play. No arrests were made. A fan went to his house and told him off. To which I say, isn't this still Texas?
Nah.
How did this dude not get shot?
That's what I was sitting there thinking. I was sitting there thinking, like, this is the one time when that stand your ground law actually applies.
Dude, in Texas, your house comes with a gun. I'm surprised dude is still alive, man. Like,
Matt Schaub probably shot at him, but missed.
Right.
Like, he can't hit a moving target for shit.
Everybody got a gun in Texas, dog. Kids got guns in Texas. I'm actually shocked this dude's alive. Honestly.
Maybe if Matt Shaw's wife was the one doing the shooting, she would have hit the target.
Maybe he threw a bullet and it got intercepted by a defender and taken to the house.
That's what I'm saying. He can't hit a moving target for shit.
Yeah. He took, adding that another person took pictures of his family, which were allegedly posted on Facebook. Fortunately, neither Shaw nor anyone in his family was hurt. The irate fans left on their own accord before police could respond. And it's believed that Schaub and the Texans contacted NFL security, which asked for assistance from the Houston Police Department after the incident, according to the source. Schaub has been under intense scrutiny following the team's disastrous 2-3 start, which has included a much maligned quarterback throwing a pick six interception in the NFL record 4 consecutive games. The Texans returned home to Reliant Sunday at noon when they welcomed the St. Louis Rams to town. Well, I tell you this much. I bet y'all won't run up on him twice.
Here's the other thing.
He'll be ready this time.
Crazy is very resourceful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Crazy found this new address in his house. Mm. How the fuck they find his house?
And then, not just find it, but to have the audacity to run up on it.
Right. I come over here every week and I don't know the address here.
Yeah.
How they find Matt Schaub's house?
Dude, I don't know. And then, I just can't, even if I knew... Like, if I could look up Matt Shaw's address, I would never have the audacity to roll up to his house. Like, the entitlement of some fans is ridiculous, man. I noticed they didn't do that shit to, like, Arian Foster, because probably would just beat their ass.
Or his brother would.
Dwight Howard needed to let us know something. He dropped this news. Let me see if I could just play the video, because that might be quicker than reading this long-ass article. But he hasn't been in the news for a while. And he has something that he thought everybody should know.
Dwight Howard will never have what it takes physically or emotionally. Hall of Famer Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was here on the ESPN campus today. He joined Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless on First Take. Listen to what Kareem had to say.
Dwight is an extraordinary athlete. He has incredible athletic ability. But basketball is a game where the most important muscle that you use on the court is the one between your ears. Dwight's basketball IQ is not up to speed for him to be a dominant player. He has problems at both ends of the court. He doesn't have a go-to move. I had to prepare Pau Gasol and Andrew Bynum to play against Dwight in the playoffs in 2009 for the World Championship. And it was an easy job because if you take certain things away from him, he doesn't have an answer for it. So he needs to develop some skills at both ends of the court that would enable him to consistently contribute to a winning effort. And he hasn't done that. And he's a wonderful young man. He's intelligent. He's charismatic. He speaks well. But that does not mean that he has the ability to get on the court and do certain things consistently that will enable his team to win.
But before you speak again, Stephen, I've got to start applauding this man for what he just said, because that was sheer basketball brilliance from the master.
Wow. Coming again from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Now, while Dwight Howard has won his share of Defensive Player of the Year awards, he simply has not stacked up against some of the best centers in the game since Kareem retired in the late 80s. Scoring alone, look at this, neither Shaq, Patrick Ewing, nor Hakeem Olajuwon had a scoring average in their career below 21 points per game. You see Dwight Howard's there at 18.
God damn.
The ether.
Bruh. For no reason. Out of nowhere. Just... What the slander? The shade he put on this dude. He just called that man stupid, bruh. He called that dude stupid.
He said he speaks so well.
And so Dwight had to come out and say something back. He says, you can't win three Defensive Player of the Year trophies and be stupid. That can't be done.
Actually.
He said, according to Houston Chronicle, and I don't think any coach has ever coached me has said I have a low IQ for basketball. Have I done some dumb stuff on the floor? Yes, every player has. Have I done some stupid things in life? Yes, it's life. I mean, come on. We know about Royce. We make mistakes and learn from them. It is what it is. I think I am very intelligent when it comes to the game of basketball. I've been playing since I was 3 years old. Each year, I get a little smarter. People will.
You're not helping this argument.
It's not helping.
You're not helping your argument.
It's making it worse. I get a little smarter every year.
Just when I was being like Kareem hating. Nah, he's not hating.
People will have something to say. It is what it is. I'm in Houston now. This city has my back, and we are going to ride together. Okay, believe that shit if you want. Start taking some losses. Mm-hmm. When I joined the Lakers, I was the greatest center ever. When I left, I was the worst, Howard said, according to the Chronicle. Mentally, I wasn't capable of playing center. I understand a lot of things are out of emotion. I will say, if he has anything to say, I'm here in Houston. We could talk man to man. That's how I feel. What are you going to beat up?
Are you threatening?
Yeah, you going to beat up Kareem?
Well, he going to try. He don't know Kareem can fight.
Yeah, he ain't seen, apparently he hasn't seen Game of Death.
And have you never seen them fights in the 80s?
Yeah.
Like, nobody broke them fights up, Dwight.
There's no need for me to go back and forth with him, Howard said. One thing I would say is that he is old enough to where whatever I do shouldn't even matter. He is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. If I'm Kareem, I'm like, why? 4 championships, 5 championships, whatever. Hell, you know how many championships you got. I've been in an airplane and done movies with Bruce Lee. I'm not worried about this young whippersnapper. I wish him good luck. People do different things. When I'm done playing, I will do what I can to help the younger generations. Man,
they won't need your help because you don't have any go-to moves, Dwight. Like, you can't get his job.
So, of course, we got to talk about this, man, because it made big news this week. Dan Snyder wrote a letter defending the Washington Redskins nickname. Mm-hmm.
It's not the first time.
Yeah, but the uproar is different now. People actually are listening. People care for some reason. Justin, do you know why people care now? Because
they're not winning.
Oh, is that what it is?
It's just that simple.
Okay.
All the previous times it became an issue, Redskins make the playoffs, people forget about it. Know what I mean? But coming from Dan's point of view, he was a fan that bought the team.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a businessman that bought it. He happened to be a fan that bought the team. So, of course, he doesn't want to change. That's you fucking up his childhood memory. Like, he loves the Redskin name. That's his childhood memory. That's like somebody coming telling you, we changing the name of the Eagles.
Yeah, it's just weird to me because, like, I recognize it as offensive. And it's always weird when black people defend the name because I'm like, y'all, come on, y'all know we would be mad. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And then they had these weird ass like polls and shit, which come off like, you know, I have black friends, and they say that, you know, it's like, well, you know, let's be honest, is racist is fucked up. But it's just funny because I don't know what the difference is between when people care and when they don't. And like you said, it maybe it's just wins and losses. It might be that simple because. I don't know, like, it seems like this shit would be an issue every single year if it was an issue with people, but it only really makes the news certain years, and then certain years nobody says anything.
Man, it's just, when they winning, nobody cares. Win covers up all the stink.
Well, he says here, Snyder said four players plus the coach were Native Americans on the first Boston Redskins roster. There's controversy as to whether coach William Lone Star Dykes was a Native American. There has been a surge of interest in changing the team's nickname starting in the offseason. President Barack Obama said Saturday that if he were the owner, he would consider changing the name. Through it all, Snyder has remained resolute about not changing it. I've listened carefully to the commentary and the perspectives on all sides, and I respect the feelings of those who are offended by the team name. But I hope such individuals also try to respect that what the name means, not only for all of us in the extended Washington Redskins family, but among Native Americans, too. Oh, yeah, he should not say that.
Yeah, it means you holding on to racist epitaph.
Yeah. Well, like, you know.
Even as a fan, I'm for him changing the name. Like, it doesn't matter either way. Change the name.
Yeah, I think, you know, to me, that's kind of the only reasonable stance to take on it is to be like, I'm a fan of this sports team, but yeah, I could do without this name. You know, they changed the Bullets to the Wizards and. Even as much as people like the Bullets name, they got it. They understood and time moved on. Like, it was fine. It, you know, like I still have a Bullets headband.
Yep.
It's just a throwback now.
They change in the Hornets to the Pelicans.
Yeah. It happens. I don't know why this is such a huge deal, to Snyder and to some of the fans that are like, well, man, I mean, it's the name. We can't change it. It's like, nah, it happens. It's not like you're going to stop fucking with the team.
Yep.
If you're a real fan, you know, you won't be like, I only liked them because it was racist. What if that is? What if that would be the big secret is they change the name and then like half the fan base is like, to be honest, man, I really did hate Native Americans. it was really a racist thing. I don't even care about this jersey anymore.
Ironically, I started liking the team because I like the colors. That's why I like NC State. I like that red. Mm-hmm. So if they change the colors, I don't know. I might not be a fan anymore.
That is the thing. Would you change colors if you changed the name? Like, I don't know. What would they change the name to?
Hopefully they just do like Florida State. They kept the same colors.
Mm-hmm.
Change the name. Cause didn't Florida State they used to be,
yeah, they're the Seminoles now, right?
Yep, but they used to be something else.
Yeah, I don't know. Just change it to some. Like, if they just change it to the, you know, Washington Cherokees or some shit, nobody would give a fuck. Like, they'd keep everything pretty much the same, too.
Yep.
I don't know. This is not. I know that a lot of people have been up in arms about it. It's not a big deal to me, and defending it only makes him look bad. He either should never, ever, ever talk about it again. Or he has to change the name because defending it is only going to sound racist.
Yeah, he's the one that's like he's dug his heels in the sand. And because of that, you know, it's making it become more of an issue.
He could get another 5 years out of this by going, I'll think about it.
Yep. Or we're going to start talking about it. And like you said, he could just keep stalling and never.
Yeah. Look at the Bobcats. How long have they been talking about becoming the Hornets? It's been like 8 years.
Yep.
Like since the team was fucking incepted, they was like, yeah, we might change it to the Hornets. They still haven't done it, but it took so long. Like they sold so much Bobcats gear in that time. You should think about it, man.
They're still selling Bobcats gear.
Yeah. They still haven't switched it officially. Like he should think about it.
He a fan, man, that just, he don't want to see his childhood memory.
Yeah.
It's like somebody telling you to change the name of one of the Transformers.
Yeah, he's rich and white, too. And you can never forget that.
Yep.
Rich white people do not relate. Like, if he ever had been in a minority or in a group of ostracized people, he would get it more. You know what I'm saying? Like, if this is a black dude, it would be more like, okay, yeah, I get why this is offensive. I'm not writing a fucking 6-paragraph paper about why this isn't offensive because I know it is.
Yep.
I just don't give a fuck. But white dudes be like, no, let me tell y'all, clearly y'all don't understand. We took a poll and 70% of the Indians said they had no problem with it.
He hit you with my best friend is Indian.
Yeah.
He hit you with that line.
Yeah.
Like, and nobody even paid it any attention.
Look, we took account of the teepees around here. And I said, listen, guys, let's smoke them some peace pipe and we'll talk. And they're like, that's all of this is racist. No, you don't understand. I was talking to my Indian friends. I said, how? Me, white man. Mm-hmm. Me make them good money. And they said, fuck you, Dan Snyder. But but we were shaking hands and laughing, smoking weed.
Yeah, they never had any issues with it.
Yeah, they were fine with me. Deion Sanders has allegedly been fired from his own prep school after assault allegation.
Man, say it ain't so, Deion. Hopefully it's not hopefully that either. Just say it ain't so. I hope it's not true.
Deion Sanders has been fired from Prime Prep Academy Charter School he co-founded last year in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. A faculty member is alleging Deion assaulted him. But Sanders is saying that he has not been charged with any crime. Sanders says there was a confrontation, but no assault occurred. The confrontation happened yesterday when the two men argued about the school's athletes performing poorly academically. We don't have details about the specific academic problems at the issue. Jefferson, the school's chief financial officer, says Sanders grabbed him by the throat, collar, and jacket and threw him to the ground. You think he was talking about that all that Jesus stuff when he threw him to the ground? Bet that went out the window. But all that praise, all that went to the wayside.
You think he looked at that faculty member and was like, that's what my wife said to me. And I told her, nobody talks to me like that. And he had a flashback.
He's like, Deion Sanders assaulted me. That wasn't me. That was Leon Sandcastle. Yo, he went that way.
Now, here's the thing about him, Irvin, and any of the other cocaine cowboys.
Yeah.
They have flashbacks from time to time, dog.
Yeah, they seen some real shit.
You know what I'm saying? They have some PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
Or just side effects from the drugs. And this is one of them. They will jack somebody up from time to time.
He told the Dallas Morning News that he had bruises on his neck, back, hips, and ribs, and a sore throat. By his account, 4 or 5 administrators had to pull Sanders off of him. Well, that would make the first time Sanders ever tackled somebody. Sanders says it was just a heated exchange. We locked up with one another, but he was not physically assaulted. Jefferson was not beat down. He was not hit. He was none of that. He went on Twitter immediately after whatever happened and further denied the assault, calling Jefferson a fake administrator. The person claiming assault is a fake administrator whom does absolutely nothing to help the school kids or teachers reach our goals. Truth.
Then why didn't you fire him?
Yeah,
like it's your school, you helped found. It hadn't even been a year yet.
I also like that he called the dude a fake administrator for bringing up that the kids was doing bad in school. Hey man, the grade's kind of low. The fuck you say, motherfucker? I said, Deion, we can't be giving these kids, you know, we can't put them on the field if they're not passing the classes. I will choke the shit out of you.
He probably had a flashback like, Deion, you ain't doing shit around the house.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact the administrator was like, you don't do shit around here. You don't know what's going on.
Yep,
with these kids.
Didn't even know.
Like that's his wife talking. You don't know what's going on around here. You ain't done shit with the kids.
And if he's right, if Deion Sanders was in the right, then why did the school board have an emergency emergency meeting and issue a press release saying effective immediately, Deion Sanders is no longer an employee or representative of the Prime Prep Academy?
Because they like that employee better. It's the employee that brings in donuts every week, dog. You love that guy.
Or he might have been wrong. He might shouldn't have jacked that dude up for doing his job.
Yep.
Possibly,
and,
allegedly.
And avoiding lawsuit. What better way to get paid than to hit your boss up that own millions and sue him for money?
Yep. I don't know, man. That's crazy. Adrian Peterson, man. Did you hear about this? He has a quote unquote secret, formerly secret 2-year-old child in like Delaware or something. His 2-year-old son, not Adrian Peterson Jr., but a formerly secret child, is not expected to survive his injuries and could be taken off life support tonight. On Wednesday, the Sioux Falls boy was allegedly beaten by his mother's boyfriend, Joseph Robert Patterson, 27. Who has been charged with aggravated assault and aggravated assault on an infant. By the way, I like have to research shows for the Blackout Tips all the time. If you guys knew how many stories about like people killing babies and 2-year-olds and toddlers and shit, we don't talk about because it's just, you know, one is kind of sad, but there's so many of them. Like every day I'm just like, well, don't want to talk, make jokes about that. You know, that's not that funny. And I can't think of a way that that's cool. This happens a lot, man. And it's crazy because now it's happened to somebody that people know. and everybody's gonna be sitting around thinking the same thing, which is he gonna play Sunday for my fantasy football team? And I say, shame on y'all. This man's son is dying. You never know, like, watch SportsCenter like the rest of everybody else and you'll find out. But yeah, I already know you guys are thinking, should I start him? Is it going to have a better game? When Brett Favre's father died, he threw 5 touchdowns. Like, that is how fucked up sports has become. We immediately start thinking about the fantasy ramifications of this kind of shit. A man's son is dying. And all y'all care about is, should you start him over DeMarco Murray or should you not?
So if you had him, would you start him?
I mean, I got him in 2 leagues. So if he's playing, I'm starting him because it's Adrian Peterson. But, you know, it's just crazy though, because, you know, I know that the underlying tone to all this is he going to play? That's how fucked up shit is. It's like, I know your son died, but I mean, he was your secret son anyway. You going to play? Like, that's all people care about. Remember when,
it's so fucked up too.
When Torrey Smith's brother died?
It's so fucked up.
But did you remember that? Yeah. Torrey Smith's brother died, and it was like a Saturday morning, and people were basically like, is he gonna have time to go to the funeral and play on Sunday? At least it's a night game. Well, it's a night game. Should I pick up a backup in case he don't play? Crazy.
That's like, so fucked up.
Yeah. Well, when I saw this, I was like, this shit is gonna automatically become about fantasy football, gambling, and TV.
Man, but I feel so bad for their child too.
Dude, a two-year-old, you don't even know what you don't know shit about life. And just that.
That's his
I also saw people blaming the baby's mother and shit, man. I just want to say, we don't know enough about that situation to be throwing around all that reckless accusations and shit that people were doing, man. I saw a ton of people, you know, that's why you gotta watch who you have around your kid. And I blame the mother too. It's like, we don't know what happened. You don't know. This motherfucker could have just went crazy one day. You know what I mean? You don't know, man. So it's sometimes shit is tragic and there's not a reason for shit like that, man. So
this is crazy. I have jokes, but I won't say them for here.
Yeah, I'm not. I actually didn't have any jokes to even talk about for this shit, because it was just one of them. Like, it makes me so mad that someone would do that to a kid. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's so fucked up, man. And then to top it off, like I said, like, to see people, you know, it's the baby mothers be having these dudes around their kids. They don't even know them. You don't know anything about. You didn't know about this kid an hour ago. Now you know exactly what happened to him.
Now see, when they sitting around creating these laws, they should also add into the laws, like, and the family of the victim gets an hour with you, the perpetrator, right, alone in the room.
Yeah.
No consequences.
Oh, man, nigga, you know if Adrian Peterson came in the room talking about some, you killed my son, bruh.
Put 8 men in the box is not going to help.
Dog.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
Adrian Peterson.
That's what I'm saying.
Just, yeah,
put him alone in the room, you know.
All right, I got to speed through some of these because I got something to do after the show. I got to go see my mom and them. Let's go to the speed round. Michael Vick is still the starting quarterback of the Eagles, says Chip Kelly. But he has declared Foles is supposed to start this weekend, even though Michael Vick managed to practice with his hurt hamstring this week.
Man, and you know what? This is he watched what he did to McNabb.
Mm-hmm.
Came in, took his spot. McNabb got hurt a little bit. He was like, I'm not letting this backup take my starting spot when it wasn't secure in the first place because the coach playing too many games.
Yeah.
And now Vic won't get 100%.
Yep.
And it's going to fuck up the Philly team and Michael Vick.
Yeah, the team's already fucked up, and so is Mike Vick. But the thing that's funny about this is how all of a sudden – they're like, yeah, Mike Vick is a starter, but we're starting Foles already. Mike Vick came back to practice 2 days later. They were like, yeah, we're still starting Foles. Like, this is how you lose your job in the NFL. Like, it doesn't happen. Nobody ever says after a bad loss, Matt Schaub is no longer our starting quarterback. They always go, he's still our starter. And then Sunday, he not starting. That's it. That's how you lose your job. Ask Alex Smith. Yeah, he's still the starter. Saturday come along. He's still a starter. Sunday come along. Kaepernick starts after the game. What happened? Kaepernick's our starter. Yeah, okay. That's how it happens, dog. Derrick Rose is back on the court, man. It's preseason.
Was his mama out there?
He was not wearing a suit. So that's good. I don't get the mama slander. What happened with his mom?
He said he'll run over his
Yeah, he pushed his mama down and said, get the fuck off of me.
Did she come support?
Then he went and dunked on her.
I just wonder if she stayed at home for her own safety.
She had to stay home because he was looking for her after the game. But yeah, he's back. I saw a couple highlights. He looked fast. He was hitting layups.
I mean, he had a year of rest.
I mean,
shit. He had a year of rest when everybody else still tired for the playoffs.
You know the most fucked up thing about this shit, man? Dude returned. Got a steal and like a A1 layup. And the only thing I kept thinking is, this shit ain't gonna work on LeBron. Like, why you even come back? Like, all this shit that people kept making. And, you know, I think I've been consistent though. Cause my whole thing has been like, it don't matter if he come back. He not better than LeBron James.
Yeah.
Like, Bulls fans, I'm sorry, but it's not happening. Like, y'all need LeBron James to get hurt if y'all want to win anything. Cause LeBron James gonna shut his ass down again.
Yeah, like what did they forget what happened? They kept saying like, oh, LeBron's team, the Bulls just needed one more piece. They just needed to do this. Well, what did they do different? They got the same team, if not less. Cause doesn't Dane still have the Ebola virus?
Yep, Dane still got the monkeypox. It's a wrap, dog. Y'all not gonna beat the Heat, man. That's all it is to it. Jamarcus Russell got contacted by the Titans after Jake Locker got hurt, but he has a knee injury that he's been dealing with since like the off season, so he couldn't come out. But he did lose all that weight and stuff. But what does it say about the Titans that they contact Jamarcus Russell? That's like, wow, things going that bad, huh?
Man, you think Chris told him to call? You think Chris Johnson was like, man? Can we get Jamarcus? Like, I had my best numbers when he was out here.
Yeah, it would open up the running game. That's true. They probably missed. Why wouldn't they contact Vince Young instead of Jamarcus? Seemed like a stretch, right?
Nah, he looked like Vince, so it count. That's what I'm saying.
I guess. Like, Melo wishes Amari was healthy.
Why?
That's so slanderous, man. Why? Who came up with this title? I guarantee that is not how he said it. That's so fucked up, man. As a friend, it's hard for me to sit back and act like it doesn't bother me because I know how hard of a worker he is and I know the time that he puts in the gym to train and rehab to see him go forward and then take some steps back every time. It's just sad. So yeah, he basically was wishing for his boy to be healthy and they turned it into like, Mello wishes Amari was healthy, like, almost like, I wish that nigga would just get healthy. What's wrong with him?
You know, ironically, when he got let go by Phoenix don't play when it comes to these injuries, man.
Mm-hmm.
They let go of Joe Johnson when he fucked up his eye. I was like, yeah, we ain't paying you, dog. Bye.
And honestly, if Phoenix gives up on you, then you know you're done. Yep. Because Phoenix can make anybody healthy.
They got the best Shaq declared. Well,
they saved Grant Hill. Steve Nash back is only been right with them.
Yep.
Like, yeah. So if they go, nah, Amari is done, then it's a wrap.
The whole New York, they gave him that big ass contract.
Cleveland Browns executive John Sandusky, the son of former Penn State assistant Jerry Sandusky, was arrested early Tuesday morning on suspicion of drunk driving. Oh. Yeah, yeah. I like how everybody heard me read that and they all went like father like son until that drunk driving.
You think he got drunk because he couldn't do what he really wanted to do?
Yeah. He was doing a 16 and a 35. Fargo. He was doing a 12 through a school parking lot during recess. His daddy a pedophile, man. Oh,
that's
man.
That's when you change your name.
Yeah, dog. You gotta change your name to John Smith, dog. You can't be running out here talking about, I'm taking Sandusky back.
It's too close, man.
Yeah.
It's Jerry, John. Yeah. It's too close.
It's like, it's like the N-word for black. I'm taking it back. I'm gonna make Sandusky stand for something good, like drunk driving, not fucking these kids. Oh man.
Oh, your life. Oh, is he married still? Like,
who? Jerry Sandusky?
John.
I don't know.
Because I imagine her just being like, from now on, only goes by her first name and her maiden name.
Hey, when the officer looks at your license and it says Sandusky, you definitely getting that ticket. Like, you not talking your way out of the fucking ticket,
you
dog.
You might get a broken tail light. You might get roughed up.
Right. You might have to get out the car.
Yeah.
Sir, I'm going to need you to turn the car. Need you. Yeah. Can you just get out the car right now, sir?
Don't move.
Wait. Get on the fucking ground.
You told me to get out the car.
Yeah, can I see your license, sir? It'd be all friendly at first, like, oh, sir, you know how fast you were going? No, officer, you know, I just, you been drinking tonight? You know, I had a couple beers on the way home, but that was it. Drank some water, and, okay, cool, no problem. Let me see license and registration. Get on the fucking ground! Get out the car! Get out the car! I'm gonna need backup. Officer down. Got a possible officer involved shooting.
Listen, he still call him officer, sir. Is all this necessary? Stop resisting arrest.
Sir, you think it's a fucking game?
I'm not resisting. Like, you have your knee on the back
sir,
of my
I
neck.
Can't breathe. Is this what those little kids felt like? Sir, that was my father. I don't even know what happened. The officer pulled Sandusky over and decided he was driving under the influence after administering field sobriety tests. He's probably like, now I want you to close your eyes. Tell me how that feels. How does it feel to stand on one leg with a grown man breathing down your neck? I don't know, sir. Oh, you think those tears gonna save you, boy? A worker at the Cass County Jail confirmed Tuesday night that Sandusky had been booked and later released. Sandusky is in his fourth season as Cleveland's director of player personnel after spending 9 seasons with Philadelphia's personnel department. He is responsible for the evaluation of all college prospects.
He had to get the fuck up out of
Philly was like, bye.
Out of Pennsylvania. He had to get out the whole fucking state.
Philly was like, you sure you want to resign? Yeah, man, I just need to,
it's a new scenery.
Yeah, I just need to get up out of here, shake the spot, you know, get into Cleveland.
He went to Cleveland where nobody would actually find him, though.
Yeah, he's like the witness protection program for him.
I wonder how many other people have ran and went to Cleveland. Like, that's where everybody at.
We're aware of the situation and currently working on gathering facts, Brown spokesperson Zach Gilbert told the Associated Press. Jerry Sandusky, 69, a former defensive coordinator of the Nittany Lions, is serving 30 to 60 years in prison for sexually abusing 10 boys in over 15 years. So you got to throw that into his son's article.
That's for Eddie Long in Cleveland.
Speaking of criminals, San Francisco 49ers linebacker Alden Smith was charged Wednesday with 3 felony counts of illegal possession of an assault weapon stemming from a party at his home in June 2012. Who wants to party like that?
Man. First of all, this at my house. How is it? I can have weapons at my house, can't I?
He got stabbed at this party, by the way.
At his own house?
At his own party, dog.
At his own party, at his own house.
Who party like that, dude? Santa Clara County's district attorney's office said and announced the charges that Smith is expected to surrender on his own later this month. Now, Smith is the same dude we covered that caught a DUI and then the 49ers let him play. And then after the game, when they lost, they was like, oh, he needs to go to rehab. Mm-hmm. So he need to go to rehab, like, right before that game. But right after he did, okay.
Do they have rehab for weapons on us?
Maybe his gun was just, maybe his game was just that bad. Like, he had such a bad game, it was like, nigga, go to rehab. 24-year-old Smith is on indefinite leave of absence from the NFC champion Niners while undergoing treatment for substance abuse at an inpatient facility following a DUI arrest September 20th. We've been aware of the incident and serious nature of it. We're all accountable for our actions, good and bad. 49ers coach Jim Harbaugh said, there's a process, due process that will take place. I don't feel any need to comment further on it. So if convicted, he could face up to 4 years and 4 months in jail. So
here's the thing though, like this happened in 2012 mm-hmm. and he cut a guy for not having, for doing something like less than this.
Yeah.
Wasn't he, like, he fell asleep in practice?
Yeah, yeah. They also had that dude that was calling gay people faggots and saying that shit wasn't gonna happen in the locker room. 49ers kind of have some control problems.
Yeah, because you cutting guys for falling asleep, but you let the guys with the weapons. Well, I guess, you know, if you got a weapon, you might be hesitant to let him go. Because you don't know if he's showing up to practice or not with that weapon.
Yeah, last month, Smith and former teammate Delanie Walker were named in a lawsuit filed in Santa Clara. Damn, this nigga getting in a lot of trouble. Say he was shot at a party at Smith's house June 29, 2012. The players charged a $10 admission and $5 per drink. That's so small time for this amount of problems. Like, what did they make? $400 off this party? And motherfuckers getting shot and killed? And y'all already rich? It's stupid.
Man, it's crazy. It's terrible. Why is he still in the league?
Smith and the now Titans tight end Walker, 29, were allegedly intoxicated on Smith's balcony when they fired gunshots in the air while trying to end the party. Nigga.
But Randy Moss can't get re-signed with the team, but this dude still got a job.
These niggas pull another 48 hours, dude. Now listen up! He pulled that shit, man. I'm very tired! Wow. I've had a bad, very bad day.
That's what I'm saying. How can Randy not get re-signed on the team? They clearly need him now.
Like, he ain't never did no shit like this.
Right. Randy has always stayed out of trouble.
Before 2012 home opener last September, Smith was a passenger in a car during an accident in Santa Clara County in which the driver swerved to avoid hitting the deer. Smith sustained a cut beneath his right eyebrow. He apologized and insisted he had grown up. Well, okay.
Well, if he was a passenger, why is he apologizing?
I guess he was firing that shotty in the air like a grown ass man.
And a cut below your eyebrow is your eyeball.
Yeah.
they said that shit like it was minor.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It must have been that bone part like boxers get. It must have been like right there.
Either way, that means
that's very close.
Bone is right.
Yeah. Very close to the eye. Yeah. That you might need for your job.
They said that shit like it's minor, dog.
U.S. Gymnastics is disappointed in racist remark. That's right. They wanted it to be better. An explanation of the racially charged comments that were aimed at New World all-around champion Simone Biles. Black people collectively say, who? It's not Gabby? It's another black girl?
Yeah, because that wasn't terrible enough.
Italy, Carlotta Ferlato apologized. Carlotta Ferlato. Ferlato. Felito.
Man, with a name like that, you should never joke anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. She went on Twitter and made comments at the World Championships in Belgium after fellow Italian Vanessa Ferrari and Ferlito finished fourth and fifth on the balance beam, just behind Biles. Ferlito said with a laugh, I told Vane that next time we'll have our skin black also so we can win too. Womp womp.
Yeah, it was a terrible joke. You're right.
That's pretty bad. On Tuesday, Felito tweeted, I want to apologize with the American girls. I didn't want to sound rude or racist. I love Simone and I'm a huge fan of USA Gymnastics. I made a mistake. I'm not perfect. I didn't think about what I was saying. I'm just a human. I'm so sorry. That racism, dog.
It's always crazy that I'm human. I make a mistake.
Yeah.
After you realize.
After you say some racist shit.
My endorsements could be gone. Mm-hmm. And I could lose my job.
Take a couple of days before people find out.
Yep.
Magic Johnson won't return to ESPN. A lot of people sources are saying it's because Bill Simmons is an asshole. But who knows? Bill Simmons said that the sources are lying. It's not true.
Does he not get along with Bill Simmons?
I don't know. I had not heard anything about them not having problems. Although it will always bother me whenever I hear Bill Simmons correct Magic Johnson on some basketball shit. I can't help it. I know part of it's because I don't really like some of the culture surrounding Bill Simmons. Think he got overrated. And it's not his fault, but, you know, motherfuckers ran with him as like the basketball god of opinion and shit. Mm-hmm. But, man. every time I hear Magic say something, it's like, yeah, that's an NBA player who knows he's talking about. Bill Simmons be like, well, you know, so-and-so was terrible and this is bad. And I'm like, yeah, but you're just a dude that watched a lot of basketball. And now you're correcting a guy who, I don't know, was the greatest player in the game at one point.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, I really don't like Magic on TV, but I get your point. And I get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. I just think Magic brought us so many good moments by being a calling play-by-play. that I really can't be mad at anything he's done. You know, he's a guy that started passing the ball. yeah. He also did throw the ball in. I don't know if y'all ever said Magic Johnson's like, he threw the ball in. That he also did the what did he do? The one we say, who game is it? It's Michael Jordan game. Like, Magic Johnson was one of the best play-by-play men we've ever had in the sport.
He's so terrible. He's so terrible. He's good for the game.
Here's one. I don't think this is I'm looking for it. I was looking for some when he was doing announcing for a game, man. Like, well, Magic was, let's see, Magic Johnson calls game. Let me see that. Johnson calls NBA games. Let me see if that even comes up. They just have highlights of him, but well, he was an announcer, dude. That shit was so good, dude. Oh my God. He passed the ball.
Well, see, the other thing is sometimes I feel like Magic, like with the Heat, yeah, he was criticizing LeBron so hard when LeBron was the only player winning. Like, he was the only guy saving the team in Magic, but like, LeBron has to do more. Like, he went for 30 Magic, he had 20 rebounds, he had 12 assists. Yeah. LeBron has to do more if the Heat are gonna win. He might have to do more, but he can't do more. He can't shoot the ball every time. And then the next week, LeBron will have a 10-point game and 10 rebounds, and they'll be like, LeBron's the greatest. He did all he could do. Everyone has to do more. It's like, well, make up your mind, Magic. Which one is it? Is LeBron has to do more, or is it the rest of the team?
Yeah, that's a thing that all the old dudes do, though, where they forget that they were human and flawed, too, and that they didn't accomplish everything they could all the time. It seems like, you know, it seems like they try to turn into like, well, I would have done this. It's like, you wouldn't have fucking done that. You like, you know, you would have had, you've had your failures in your career too. You've had your years where people were like, Magic Johnson didn't do good, you know?
Yeah. Cause, he kind of disappeared during the finals against the Bulls.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, he took some L's. He lost, you know? Here's one of Magic, I guess. What does it say? Here's Magic Johnson trying to call Lakers highlights. All right, let's see if this is one of them, one of the clips.
Well, let's take a look at the Lakers in Utah. Here we go with the game tied at 78. Kobe, 76. Kobe hits a jumper to put the Lakers up. And here he had a chance to win it, but misses at the buzzer. We go into overtime. In the overtime, Kobe gets double. He kicks Gasol for the three. The Lakers up one. Now, Kobe going to drive here, take a shot. He misses, but Bynum is there for the follow. Put the Lakers up three. Gordon Hayward will come down as he drives. He kicks to Al Jefferson, but it's blocked by Bynum. As Kobe has fouled his two free throws. The Jazz has one more chance to tie it, but Kobe with the block. Kobe has 40 after last night's 48.
Oh, man. That's not even like the good ones, dog.
Yeah, that's not even was that live? Like, that's probably, I don't even think
that. Yeah, that was probably just him trying out.
Like,
man,
that was his best recording on record.
Yeah, dude. Y'all got to see ones where he just record. Where he does actual games. Oh, so good, man. I'll find some more. Hopefully I'll be able to find some clips for next week, because dude, that motherfucker was like, he passed it the ball. I was like, Magic, what are you doing?
Yeah, he does a lot better when he's just halftime talking amongst the guys.
Somebody hit like a jump shot or something. And you know how when they go to commercial, they always have the like play by play color announcers like say something like, you know, oh, that was butter on a roll or some shit like Mark Jackson used to do. Magic was like, he feeling it, he feeling it, he feeling good. This dude is the best. Oh, I wish he never stopped, man. Oh, I wish he never stopped.
Oh, just think years from now, we'll still be seeing hand down, man down.
Yep. Hand down, pants down. Fake ass man of God. Female race car driver DeVellata dies. That's right, man. Spanish police have confirmed that racing driver Maria DeVellata has been found dead in her hotel room in Seville, and says it appears she died of natural causes. She was 33 years old.
What the fuck?
Yep. She was seriously injured last year in a crash during testing at Marussia Formula One team, for the Marussia Formula One team, losing her right eye and sustaining other serious head injuries. She had driven in several different forms of racing in Europe, including the World Touring Car Championship in 2006-2007, plus the Super League Open Wheeler Series. She was daughter of Emilia DeVellata, and who competed in Formula One between 1976 and 1982. I've never heard of this lady before.
Me either, but
I guess if it's not Danica Patrick, nobody cares.
That sounds like suicide.
33 natural causes. It could have been her injuries that she sustained from driving, you know. Women can't drive, you know, and this is a lot to pull out, to bite off for a woman, you know, to try to drive with the best men on the planet.
I want to see a picture of what her eye looks like without the patch over it. Like,
I don't.
I do.
I think she looks kind of hot with the eye patch, by the way. Like, I definitely do a woman with an eye patch.
Yeah, I just want to see what it looks like. Mm. I just want to see if she, it's like, does she have a glass eye?
Mm-hmm. I just want to like keep that patch on, girl.
Maybe they should play Third Eye Blind at her funeral.
Maybe they should, man. Well, you know, hopefully she's got one eye open in heaven, you know? She's got one eye open.
I'm going to keep my eye out for any further news about her.
Yeah. The worst part, though, is if she hadn't died, I wouldn't care one iota about this. But now I kind of do. let's see what we have next on the docket. Looks like yo, man, race car drivers do not need to die on our show, man. This shit happens every time.
I mean, you see what happens,
yeah,
when they get injured or die on the show.
Yep.
Every single time.
Yep. Just watch. Just watch out.
Yo, do you think she saw the accident coming?
I didn't see it coming.
Or was she just kind of blind sided?
Oh, man. I don't know, man.
I wonder if anyone else saw her pendant on death.
Yeah, I wonder if the coroner got there and was like, this don't look right. And also, she can't. It's time for this, y'all. Hey, Mamba. That's right. Kobe Bryant. His treatment in Germany wraps up. And he's back in LA actually already. And they still think he's like maybe a month away at least from returning to the court like full time. But he already practicing and running and shit.
Yep. He's just trying to get his weight back up, dog.
Yeah. He a beast, man. He did some advanced light jogging and some shooting drills already.
I mean, we knew 3 months ago Kobe was already practicing at home.
Mm-hmm. He just letting us see now.
Yeah, he's trying, and the reason why, if he admits that he's doing something against doctor's orders, fuck up his contract.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to mess up that money, dog.
Yep. Kobe Bryant, man. I also saw this article. Kobe is so popular in China, it's scary. On Friday, Bryant is heading to China with the Lakers for the NBA Global Games exhibition promotion. And by now, this much is clear. The Chinese people cannot control themselves when it comes to their fanaticism for Bryant. It's like nothing I've ever seen, said Judy Seto, Bryant's trusted physical therapist, who will be making her fourth tour of China with him. Even though Lakers fans were disappointed to hear on Wednesday that Bryant is still expecting three strong weeks of pushing the stamina before he's really ready to play, he is nearing the finish of his arduous recovery for Achilles tendon surgery in April. He just has to make it back to LA from China on October 19th in one piece. The passion for Kobe in China, Seto explains, usually goes from amazing to overzealous. We got to get the hell out of here. Seto's best example of the Chinese fandom was when 15,000 fans were waiting for Bryant at one venue at 9 in the morning. God damn. 15,000 people? What the fuck did they think they were going to do?
Man, they loved him for Kobe, man. He's recovering and traveling the world right now, 6 months after having this surgery and injury.
Yeah, so the long arduous recovery. Actually, short arduous recovery.
Mamba blew it.
He wasn't going to appear until 4 in the afternoon, so they showed up at 9, 15,000 deep. This man isn't showing up till 4? Wow.
They probably don't even count the numbers of the people that slept out the night before.
Yep. We already showed, we played the clip on the show before, the dude crying.
Yep.
Well, that happened. People are chasing the van, and then people started kissing the window. Sometimes it's scary because when I go, there's a reason I'm there. For this last go round in August with the Achilles tendon repair, I had to make sure there were no times when he was in a spot where it's not safe. Seto, who has been with Bryant for 2 of his 8 consecutive Nike tours on China in the 2008 Olympics in Beijing, has learned from experience by now. One of the scariest times was a few years back after he had knee surgery and we were in China and he was at an outdoor basketball court having a clinic. For whatever reason, he decides to throw his shoes into the crowd. Now he's barefoot and he can't run. He decides to move to the next venue, which is outdoor elevated tennis court, and people are starting to follow him like the Pied Piper. And now he starts to jog a little bit, so then they jog. Then he starts to run, barefoot still. He goes up to his cage tennis court, and now he's trapped. He has no shoes. I'm telling them, how could you not throw your shoes in the crowd ever? Oh, could you not throw your shoes in the crowd ever again? We'll see the madness firsthand when the Bleacher Report follows Bryant, okay? Lakers general manager Mitch Kupchak is bringing his wife and 2 children for the cultural experience. Why? Y'all crazy.
Yeah, they gonna get ran over.
Nobody know who them white people are. Yep. They gonna be like, it's Kobe! Kobe's on! stepping on Mitch Kupchak and his kids.
The Asian impression was
so different. It was Japanese too. It's not even Chinese at all. Oh, I'm sorry, Shirley. Yo, Wong.
Do you think Kobe has ever seen that race car driver since she was, you know, Italian and he likes her?
I don't know, man. He is Italian though. Yeah. He probably be on the lookout for her now. that's our Kobe news for the week, man. Thank y'all so much for coming out and listening. We really appreciate it, guys. We'll be back next week with more sports shit to talk about.
Next week, I promise we'll have a YMCA story. We had one this week, but.
Yeah. Honestly, we just ran over time and I gotta go see my mom in a few minutes. But thank y'all so much. We'll be back next week on Balls Deep Sports. Shout out to Michael Felder in the Bleachers on Twitter for joining us. We appreciate it, man. Until next week, peace out.
Peace.